much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
I'm Lieutenant Frank Drebin, police squad. And don't ever let me catch you guys in America.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
How about the basketball game?
Frank. Sure, you think I'm a big hero, the man of the hour. Well, do any of you understand how a man can hurt inside?
Frank, they're not here for you. Weird Al Yankovic is on the plane.
Well, I try my to say that. Do you do any work on honeymoon?
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
And now...
Roma, I promise you, whatever scum did this, not one man on this force will rest for 1 minute until he's behind bars. Now let's grab a bite to eat.
Yeah, come on. Our feature presentation.
Oh, Leslie Nielsen.
I know, right?
Leslie Nielsen.
We welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way. Your calls on any topic up, as always, at this time. You can be part of the show. If you can hear the show at 1-800-520-1067, get on the air, get a prize. And like I always say, it's Monday, man. That's the Wheel O' Prizes. Who knows what it could be today. When you heard the news that Leslie Nielsen, the Hollywood legend, had passed, tell me the first thing you didn't think of was that guy hung on a lot longer than I expected he would, based on the last few times we've interviewed him.
Yeah, we interviewed him a couple times, and we couldn't, for the life of us, figure out what he was talking about. And I mean, any of us. You know,
it seemed
on the
like
show.
He might not be all there.
And it was sort of a bummer. It was even so bad that I voted the second time not to talk to him.
Because at some point it's just sad because you're talking to Grandpa with Alzheimer's, which is, should be done privately and not maybe on the radio.
I was wrong because that was the best call. But, what a bummer. There are very few people that can pull off that kind of comedy pull it off.
Oh, he was the best.
Yeah.
Just absolutely, it's unbelievable how talented that dude was. And by the way, has been working steadily. He's 84 when he died. Has been working steadily into his 80s. I think still has at least one, maybe two movies in the can. And, you know, he's the guy who's in all those scary movies and those sorts of things. You know,
all the
parody spoofs, exactly, yeah. But we must find time today to go back to that conversation that we had where we broke down that telephone call line by line and tried to figure out what was happening. Because even though we were in on it, we really didn't understand it.
You guys spoof War of the Worlds. You spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Basketball game. Remind me about the basketball game.
So that's kind of how that went.
Yeah.
We can certainly find
some
time. What
is there to break down? He says, woo!
I gotta tell you, man. Usually between the three or four of us, we can kind of get our head around like what somebody meant or, you know, I don't know. But when he was talking, we really were just at a loss. We were trying to be nice because we respect his work. And, you know, he was an airplane, one of the greatest.
Had you already talked to him for a couple? I mean, you knew that he was hearing you?
Oh, yeah. He was hearing us.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that it went into the prism of his mind and came out.
It came out the right way.
The right way.
Yeah.
We were on the same page, just not speaking the same language.
Right.
That's what happened there. So let's. We'll definitely make some time for that later on today as a tribute to a man who hung on perhaps too long. 1-800-520-1067. That's our number. It's time for Kevin Beans. What did you, nephew?
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
It's a new car. Oh, you know what? No. Wait, it's Kevin and Bean T-shirt. I'm sorry, I misread that at first.
So
I
close,
I thought it was the new car this time around, but no, it's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean T-shirt, or so they claim.
Yeah,
we have never seen one, right?
I don't think we've seen a Kevin and Bean T-shirt. Maybe Dodger Day this past year, maybe. Remember those?
Yeah,
They made like 8.
Yeah, I was going to say limited edition.
Yeah,
right.
So I have no idea what you're going to get, but good luck with
that. I think somebody puts that on the sheet who has no idea whether we have them or not and just assumes we do. But I don't think we've mailed one out since 2005.
Yeah, I think that's
all right.
True.
Let's see if David has anything to add. He's still hanging on about Leslie Nielsen, so maybe he's a big fan and he needs our help today. Hi, David. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
What did you, nephew? What did you, baby boo?
What did you, bean?
And Pam Anderson?
Yeah.
That's where that drop comes from, too, is an interview with Leslie Nielsen.
Give a two for one on Bean's Death Corner and the great passing of a great interview by Kevin and Bean.
Pam Anderson?
Exactly.
That's right. Well, it was still sad news, though, even though he was old. He's one of those guys you hope to live forever.
It is unfortunate, but, you know, it happens.
It does.
You know what? It's hard to argue with. It does happen. So thank you. Do you have anything else besides it happens?
No.
Okay.
Thank you for those comforting words.
Good. That was a great tribute.
I hope
David is a good man.
I hope his family contacts you to speak at the funeral. Maybe you'd be the guy to bring his life into focus. Let's try Jeremy. I think he's got some sort of Thanksgiving weekend story to tell us on line one. Hi, all Jeremy. Right. What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
And baby boo.
Hello.
Let me tell you how awesome it is to dress like an Indian and go stand in line on Black Friday and make fun of all the people standing in line.
Very nice.
Yeah, every year we have like a little party where we dress like either a pilgrim or an Indian on Thanksgiving. And we just, by about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, we were just all wasted. And we're like, let's just stand in line at Toys R Us and make fun of the stupid people.
By the way, it's very different if you dress up like a pilgrim or an Indian. I mean, really, it's giving a different message with both.
You're also much warmer as a pilgrim.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of looking at us like, what are these guys doing? And the cops got called on us because we were drinking in the line.
All right.
Nice. You know how those Indians do.
Couple of guys drinking their fire water and getting police called on them.
Now, did you do it because you also wanted to stand in line to buy stuff on Black Friday, or were you just there to make fun of other people who were there to buy stuff?
Oh, no. We got to the front of the line and left. We weren't even planning on buying anything
at all.
Wow.
You just went to a sad life.
You just went to screw with people. I worship
that's not
you.
That's sad. He was up really early drinking.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the plan was. It was just to get wasted and go make fun of the people waiting in line. The line was ridiculous. They wrapped around the building twice for Toys R Us. I'm like, what are you people doing here?
I know.
And they have kids with them. I'm like, you got kids with you in the line. It's like 3 in the morning. What's wrong with you?
I know. And there were people, you know, spent the entire night there. Yeah. But at least you were there to mock them dressed as an Indian. So that's good.
Absolutely.
Mommy, why is that guy dressed like an Indian? Well, the history of Thanksgiving isn't really all that great. All right, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks
for the call. Sorry, Dave from Los Angeles. We're not going to have time to get to your call. We have to move on to talking about a new show.
Yeah, Dave wants to call about the Clippers.
Mm-hmm. Do they win another one? Have they won three now?
Yeah, 3-14, baby. We're number last.
You are number last.
We're the best 3-14 team in the NBA.
That's correct.
You might be.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
Bye now. He doesn't get a prize, by the way.
Like there is one.
He works here. Yeah, he doesn't get that non-existent Kevin and Bean shirt. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
How about the basketball game? Mm.
We'll get to that as well. Yes.
Maybe we just did. I thought we just covered that.
Maybe a Bean's Bean's Death Corner in the 7 o'clock hour there.
Oh,
Bean.
Excellent.
We could do that. Maybe we could work that in and play some highlights.
Okay.
We also have Wedding DJ Bean. We've found out recently. I think we sort of knew all along that Bean used to DJ, but can you imagine him at a wedding?
No.
Because he doesn't like people. And he doesn't like gatherings.
He doesn't go to a wedding.
He doesn't like fun.
Yeah.
And I hate love, too. Remember that as well.
He's against love.
Yeah.
And, you know, at weddings, there's all kinds of different people that come up to you and say, hey, would you mind playing? And you don't want to play it. No way. But because you're at their wedding, you go, yeah, absolutely. But
right.
Dean would never do that. So we're going to have to discuss that. We're going to talk to Ken Block. He's, of course, a very famous driver. We're going to talk to him. We're going to talk about Charlie Sheen's story. Are there really escorts just to go out to dinner? I mean, that's the end of it. You pay, what did she say, 12 grand was what she said?
Yeah, I think so.
And then you just go out to dinner, and then there's no sex?
It's a handshake goodbye.
Right.
I know women hire men from time to time to do that, to be there. Escort.
That's fascinating.
Maybe they're plus one when they have an event to go to. They don't want to go to the by themselves.
Yeah.
I don't understand this because I don't mind going to anything by myself. So, you know, that's for me, that just seems odd. But to spend that much money.
You got to have it to spend it, right?
Well, yes. But let's say you have that much money. You're just taking them to dinner?
Yeah.
And there's nothing? What's the point of that?
Don't know.
So we got to dive into that and figure out what's going on. We have Miss Double December.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're going to dive into.
That kicks in full gear today and tomorrow and Wednesday and Thursday. And Friday is our pageant, our live pageant. So we're going to have all of the top 10 finalists in the studio. We're going to interview them. They're going to do their talent.
It's difficult, but we're going
to
do it.
We're going to try to figure out a way to do it. Yeah. So we have two different Miss Double D contestants, one coming up in about a half hour.
Okay.
And, well, you know, we'll try and get their personality out of them a little bit. We'll, you know. Little interview.
Do that.
Give you a chance to
in-depth
decide.
In-depth interviews that you do.
Right. Give people a chance.
I'm detecting a little bit of the snarky once a year for a week. Miss Lisa May starts talking about, oh, you pick people to interview based on how big their boobs are. Nice going, guys. That's the kind of comment we get from Lisa.
Yeah.
I was driving in today. It's so cold. And I thought, these poor girls, because God bless them, they all come in and they take everything off pretty much.
Right. Well.
And I feel bad that it's so cold, but I admire them because I know they'll all do it anyway. They're good sports.
Plus, we brought in a full body scanner from LAX too, so we've got that this year, which is new. So we all get complimentary X-rays as they leave,
and then a pat down as well. They have to go through both the end of the building, so we got that going for us. I have duct tape if we need it for Lisa. So
yeah,
just let me know.
We may need it. This is the week. I'm thinking we may need that. Right.
We have Steve-O on the show today.
Oh yeah.
Steve-O's now doing stand-up comedy.
I would like to hear that.
I would too. So we have him on the program.
Yeah, dude.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, all the celebrities. And we've got your first chance at tickets for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one and night number two.
Excellent.
And again, we've got your first pair of tickets coming up here within a half hour.
Okay.
So keep listening for that. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the showbiz beat next.
You see what I'm saying there, Ralph, is at least it's like looking down at her nose just because these chicks are young and hot and have big boobs.
No, I like them.
I don't know that we've got room for that.
I'm fine
this
with that.
Week.
Look, I think she's got a point. I don't like us either.
This week is a celebration of that kind of woman, though.
Sure.
I don't think she has a problem with the girls.
No,
I think
she doesn't.
It's how we behave towards the girls that bugs her.
It's the drooling, you know, the...
That's involuntary.
You know what you do.
There's nothing we can do about
it. There is a vague whiff of Clearasil and testosterone in the room when the girls come in. It's like you're with some 13-year-old boys in the hallway in junior high school. We have that going for us.
That's the reason we do it.
But it's not like we can help it, Lisa.
Right, that's
what
I'm saying.
And I do try to deal with it as best I can.
Well, you are a saint. I've always said that.
All right, well, don't worry. Lisa gets no vote in who Miss Double December 2011 is. But you do, and you can go to kevinandbean.com and cast your vote right now. And the first of the interviews that we'll do with the ladies this week is coming up starting next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now it's Monday. Ralph joins us for our first look at the show this week on a new week of Kevin and Bean Shows. What's going on?
I have a hard time giving Lisa anything but love. Because out of everyone in this room, my big premiere of my show with Kevin Smith, Hollywood Babylon, only one person that I can see in this room actually showed up on Friday night to support me.
And how'd that go? Worth it.
That's John Lovitz. How'd it go? So,
awesome.
It was a big success. We sold the joint out, believe it or not.
Wow,
and,
nice.
Everyone showed up. Lisa May was there, and it really went well.
I was
very funny.
I was near the back on the over near the side.
It wasn't that big. I think we would have spotted your giant head.
Yeah, with your giant platinum blonde head, do you think you can be anywhere and people don't say, oh, well, at least Kevin's here. I can see the big Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade float in the back of the room.
I try to stay in the back of the room.
There's no. The way the building is built, there's no way they could contain your head.
I was at the theater across the way, but I was in the complex. I was near.
You know,
the,
that would almost be worse.
He was at the Roxy.
If you went up there and went to a movie,
I went to something else.
You went to the whiskey. Yeah. Anyway,
it was really fun.
Thanks to everybody who showed up. We really appreciated it, and it was a good
time. Being popular must be such a new experience for you.
It is, and I kind of like it. It's Monday. That means we look at the hot movies. At the weekend's box office, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 continues to be the cinematic juggernaut that everyone thought it would be. $50 million for the three-day weekend, for the long holiday weekend, including Thanksgiving. It was $78 million for that period of time. So,
yikes.
Well done,
yeah.
Harry Potter and your wand. Tangled, the new Disney animated film. Also did very well for itself. For the five-day total, $67 million.
Wow.
Dude.
Just behind Harry Potter. So the kid's still showing up in force for the Disney shows. Megamind.
This is a new telling of the Rapunzel story?
It is. Rapunzel, let down your hair.
Okay.
So I may climb the golden stair.
It's got really good reviews, too.
They do a good job, those Disney people, with these comedies. Megamind, another animated comedy. You can tell the kids were going into the movies this weekend because of the holiday. Its five-day total was a little over $17 million, good enough to make it number three. And then, of course, you know, the gays have to go to the movies, too. And Burlesque was number four at the box office. Made a five-day total of $17 million in its debut.
Not enough gays.
No.
I was out on with a power failure on Wednesday, so I did not hear your review of that. But I understand it's the new Showgirls. I understand this Burlesque is that bad. Have you heard similar things, Ralph?
Three thumbs up is what he said.
I can't wait to go then.
I heard it. It is Showgirls bad, but it doesn't have nearly the... The
nudity.
Graphic nudity or sexuality that Showgirls have. So you get all the bad and really none of the boner.
No, what's the point of that?
That'll be on the poster, my review. Unstoppable was fifth at the box office with a five-day total of $16 million. Then another film debuting this weekend, Love and Other Drugs, the Anne Hathaway romantic comedy, $13.6 million over the five-day holiday weekend. Faster with our buddy Dwayne The Rock Johnson, made a little over almost $12 million, made it number seven. Then Due Date, The Next 3 Days, and Morning Glory, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Yes, I heard you guys talk about it this morning. I felt bad when I heard that Kevin killed Leslie Nielsen.
Pam Anderson?
Just mocked him right into the grave.
Didn't kill him.
I hope you're happy, man. He died apparently of complications of pneumonia at a hospital near his home in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He was 84 years old, known best for his classic comedy roles like Airplane. The truth is, Leslie Nielsen was a serious dramatic actor for the vast majority of his career.
Was he really?
Oh, yeah. He was the straight guy his entire life. And that's the reason that the Zucker Brothers asked him and other completely straight, sort of known for their melodramatic roles, other actors like Peter Graves and Robert Stack, the guys they used in that movie, the reason they used them is because these were the guys you would see in a real disaster movie back in the day. And they thought it would be funny to have those guys come out. And it really gave Leslie Nielsen a brand new career. Much more successful as a comedian than he ever was as a straight actor. But after Airplane, of course, he did Police Squad, one of the greatest TV comedies ever.
I've
never seen
Absolutely.
Police Squad. It's available on DVD. You can pick it up. It is a spoof of cop shows, and it is hilariously funny.
There's one scene that just sticks out of my mind where they're having a shootout, but they're having a shootout from about 3 feet away from each other.
Behind trash cans and just shooting each other. Yeah.
And they're shooting, I don't know, a total number of bullets, probably 300. Zero hits.
That's where Leslie originated the role of Lieutenant Frank Drebin. The series didn't last. It didn't get too well in the ratings, but the Zuckers believed it enough that they made a series of Naked Gun movies after that fact featuring that character, and it was hilarious. So
I love what people said to him when he started doing the comedies. They said, why are you going against type? And he said, no. I've always wanted to do comedy. Doing drama was me going against type. That's not what my favorite thing is.
Yeah.
So
he got a chance to be silly eventually. And apparently he was one of those guys who would walk around with like a whoopee cushion and... You know, like those cow things, it goes, and you turn it over. He liked silly noises and silly comedy, and he enjoyed that for the remainder of his career. Canadian originally, born in Saskatchewan.
Oh, who knew?
But we let him slide on that, though, right?
I'll tell you, that's the thing. It's so hard to spot them, the Canadians, when they come over the border. We need a tighter wall up there, up north.
Yeah.
And his older brother, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Was the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada during the 80s.
Wow.
How about that? He's part of the Royal Family of Canada. He was like co-king or something up there. I don't know how that works.
That's how it works.
I don't know how it works.
Co-king.
But they did a good job for themselves. In sadder show business news, even sadder than death, yes, divorce. George Lopez and his wife of 17 years, Anne, are getting a divorce. She filed on the grounds that he likes whores, also known as irreconcilable differences. And it's all over for them. Let's not forget that Anne also gave George Lopez a kidney when his kidney was failing.
That's right.
Then found out after the fact that he was whoring, and she took that less than well.
Mm. If you're giving up a kidney, I think you deserve a little respect.
A little respect.
I mean, come on.
She did give you a body part. That's even more than most wives give. And most wives give a lot. But she gave you an organ.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Your other organ and keep it in the pants. That's what we're asking, Mr.
That's
Lopez.
That's good advice. I don't know who decides how the divorce decree comes down, who gets what, but man, George Lopez has got to be sweating it right now because it would be easy to get a judge who feels like she deserves it all for being married to George Lopez.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that must be the least humorous household in America to live in.
I would just bring in episodes of his talk show and just play them for the jury.
You could
murder him and get off with that show. And you know, I love the collectibles over the weekend. Christie's in London did a big showbiz collectibles auction, including The Darth Vader costume, one of the original screen-worn Darth Vader costumes.
Dude.
The helmet, shoulder armor, shin guards. They expected it to go for more than $250,000, but apparently nobody ponied up enough money to meet the reserve amount. No one would even pay $250,000 for an actual screen-worn Darth Vader costume.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Which was surprising. What was more surprising was a prop gun used by Sean Connery in From Russia with Love, the James Bond movie.
Right.
That pulled in 15 times more than what they anticipated. That brought in $439,000.
Wow.
For a prop gun that was used in a James Bond movie versus one of the most iconic costumes of all time. Surprising, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
Maybe that's the kind of draw Sean Connery has. Maybe we'll have to ask him this week. Congratulate him on his big auction.
If we can get him, he's very busy.
He is very busy, especially around the holiday season, because I believe he plays Santa for underprivileged children.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
He brings them up on their knee and tells them what they're getting for Christmas, and it's not always what they ask.
That's a terrible idea.
Is it usually in liquid form?
I don't know. You'll have to ask the man.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays, legendary L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully. Vin Scully. 83 years old today.
One of the best baseball announcers in the world.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
62 years he's been working for the Dodgers, by the way.
And he's
how old?
He's 83.
Oh, my God.
That's too long to have a job.
It really is.
It really is. You got to move on, Vin. Find a new career.
I don't know that he's ready for a new career.
I think he should reinvent himself. Gary Shandling is 61 years old today. Director Joel Cohen of the legendary Cohen Brothers turns 56 years old. Howie Mandel, actor, comedian, and TV game show host, 55 years old. Actress Kim Delaney is 49. She's a beauty. Tom Sizemore, very talented actor who likes the drugs. He is 49 years old. Don Cheadle's 46. Gina Lee Nolan from Baywatch fame.
Yeah.
39 years old today. One of our favorite actresses is Anna Faris from Scary Movie. She co-starred with Leslie Nielsen in that film, I believe. She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Guys. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll meet the first of our top 10 finalists to be Miss Double December 2011 coming up in about a half an hour. First, though, who wants tickets for night number one of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2010 show? It's coming up. When is it, Kevin?
It's a week
two
from
weeks
Saturday.
Less than 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's a week from Saturday.
Yep.
Wow, a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
You can win them, but we're warning you, it won't be easy.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Mr. Announcer Man, how was Thanksgiving for you and Mrs. Announcer Man?
It's always a great time around the Announcer Man house. What?
Huh?
The Announcer Man house? I gave the wife a little stuffing this year.
Is that right?
Oh,
yes, I did. Good to hear. Now, we're very excited this time of year to give away tickets to one of the best concerts of the whole darn year. Tiny venue, lots of big bands. Explain to the contestants who are on hold how the game is played, please.
Well, we'll be announcing names of bands that are playing night one at the Almost Acoustic Christmas. All you need to do is to identify the band we say. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Those names will be backwards!
Yeah!
That makes it hard!
It may not make it sound when you hear it like it's hard, but once you get into playing it, you'll go, that's impossible.
In fact, you might say, it's the hardest game in the world!
That's correct. So everybody that gets it will go into a drawing, and the winner will get tickets for night number one. Who do we have on the line first, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Johan. He works in construction.
Hey, Johan.
Hey, it's Joanne.
Hey, Joanne.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. I'm Austrian.
All right, so you get to hear it backwards twice, and then you're going to have to guess. Everybody that's on hold, don't ask if you can hear it again. Twice is what you get, all right? Here's the first band.
Nishnilab.
One more time.
Nishnilab.
Is it Bad Religion?
How about that?
Bad Religion.
Well done, Johan!
Come on, Johan rules.
All right, Johan is in the drawing. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Al. He works in human resources.
Hey, Al.
Good morning, Kevin Bean.
Morning.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
You ready for your band backwards?
I am ready.
By the way, the last one didn't seem that hard, did it?
Nope.
Seems like it's pretty simple. All right, here we go. Here's yours.
Snehidrnub.
One more time.
Snehidrnub.
Answer, please.
It's one of the eight bands that are playing.
Jimmy Eat World?
No, I'm sorry.
The Dirty Heads.
Oh. Nice try, though. Thanks for playing.
This game's hard.
It is difficult sometimes, yes.
Next up is Rob. He's a middle school teacher. Teenage girl.
Mr. Announcer Man, we're on the air.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, morning.
All right, you ready for your band?
Yes.
If you don't get this, I think you should kill yourself. All right, here you go.
Yeah.
One more time. Here it is backwards.
Yeah.
Cake?
Cake.
There oh, that was me clearing my throat. I'm sorry.
Nicely done.
All right, so far, Joanne and Rob are in the drawing. Who else is playing to win?
Up next is Josh. He's an IT headhunter.
Wow, headhunter.
Yeah.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, how are you guys?
We are good. You ready for your band backwards?
I am.
Here it comes twice.
Slam or hookum. Hey, I'm.
One more time.
Slam or hookum. Hey, I'm.
A day to remember?
Oh. It was multiple words. That was good.
It was a good
My
guess.
Chemical Romance.
Nice answer. Try.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Next up is Janine. She's a dental lab.
She's an entire lab?
Yes, she's a big girl.
Wow.
When she sits around the lab, she really sits around the lab.
Hey, Janine.
Oh my God, I'm freaking out.
How oh, so am I.
Mr. Mouser, take it easy.
I'm shaking.
I am too.
All right, don't shake.
This game's so exciting.
All right, you ready for your band backwards?
Okay, go for it.
There you go.
Snake my fingy shamps.
All right, one more time.
Snake my fingy shamps.
Wow, with the language. Well, with
what
the body
a delicate young
lab.
Flower.
She's
dental
right.
Lab
F my life. That needs to go on the website.
They're playing night two.
Ah.
All right, I think we have time for just a couple more contestants. Mr. Announcer Man, who's up next?
Next up is Rob. He sells stuff.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Kevin and Bean.
What is he, an import, hey, export? Hey, one of those kind of sales stuff? Where are we getting that echo?
We're getting that echo.
Hey, test, test. Hey, test.
Echo, echo,
test, echo, echo. Test.
Hey, pretty lady, we'll be back to pick you up later.
All right, Rob, here is your band backwards. Here you go.
Laura, eat him.
One more time.
Laura, eat him.
Jimmy World.
Jimmy Eat World.
Nicely done.
Oh, well done. All right, that? So we got Rob, Joanne. We got time for one more contestant. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Matt. He's ups.
I believe that's UPS.
Oh, my bad. Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
Morning, guys.
All right, you ready for your band backwards?
Yeah.
There you go.
Nishot says Blushos.
One more time.
Nishot says Blushos.
Social distortion.
Social distortion.
Well yes, done, Matt.
Wow. That's a pretty good batch of contestants, I got to tell you, because this game is not easy, as you may have guessed from
it's
the title.
It's the hardest game of the world.
All right, Lisa May, it's up to you. Who joins us for night number one of Almost Acoustic Christmas, December the 11th at the Gibson?
The winner is Johan.
Johan!
Johan, our first contestant.
Oh my God, you guys, I love you.
Way to go, Johan.
Guten Tag, mit der Wurst und Kurs.
Thank you for playing the game. We'll see you Saturday night. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Auf Wiedersehen.
What you ought to be doing as a good, right-thinking American is going to KevinandBean.com and casting your vote for who you'd like to see be Miss Double December 2011. We're going to meet all the girls on the show this week, and the beautiful Tiffany is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. So we will get to know Tiffany. You got to check out these pictures. You'll be very pleased. Right now, though, it's Monday. That means Harvey Levin, TMZ.com on the line. Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, I was devastated. Of course, I check your site about every 20 minutes all weekend long. When you broke the news about Willie Nelson being arrested.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Leslie Nielsen, because I'm devastated about
well,
that.
Well, yeah, Leslie Nielsen was a
very sad. Very classic. Sad about Leslie Nielsen. Yeah, we were all... Who wasn't a big fan of Leslie Nielsen? Very sorry
favorite,
to hear that news.
Favorite movie of all time for me.
Airplane?
Airplane?
Yep.
It's hard to beat. I mean, every scene is great. You're absolutely right.
Favorite
But Willie Nelson, and we had this conversation last time he got popped for pot, is an American legend who smokes pot. That's what he does.
Well, that's
right?
What I think I think the defense is, it's like, guys, I'm Willie Nelson.
Yeah. And by the way,
you go to the jury and you say, you listen to my music?
Right.
You know,
what
I do.
He's so known for smoking weed, and of course, for those of you who don't recognize the name, he's an old-time country singer, yeah. But he's been known for weed as long as he's been known for music.
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, the cops would have just said, oh, it's Willie Nelson.
Right.
You know?
Like, it seems like he lives in a different world. Like, oh, the weed, that doesn't apply to you.
It's like Snoop Dogg. It's like Snoop Dogg. You give him a pass because he's the guy who smokes weed. Now, Harvey, refresh my memory. Isn't Willie Nelson the guy who was performing for President Carter back in the 70s and went up on the roof of the White House and smoked weed?
Now, do you really think he's the only one?
No.
No, I don't at all. But he Clinton did that daily.
Yeah, but I mean, I just think there are probably, can you imagine how many people said, oh my God, I smoked pot in the White House?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know how many, you meant people probably have said that, and probably some presidents.
Sure.
Probably so. But what surprised me about your story on Willie Nelson on TMZ.com is that he really could face jail time for this because it's not a first offense. You're not going to put a 77-year-old man in jail for having 6 ounces of weed. Please tell me that's not where this country's at.
Well, look, I mean, it's true that there is a, you know, depending on how this is prosecuted, there could be a minimum 6 months. Now, I don't know whether the judge can make an exception to that, but I don't know why he would. I mean, just because you're 77 doesn't give you an exception. Maybe gives you the minimum, but it's 6 months to 2 years. But I just cannot imagine that Willie Nelson is going to jail for this.
Isn't it funny? Because we're all very, very, I don't know, we take it personally when celebrities seem to get around the law. And we all go, well, if that was me, I would be. But for certain people, like Bean says, Snoop, you know,
you get a pass.
Willie's one of those people. They get a pass, and I'm cool with that because that's justice.
But you know what it is? It's like, here's what it is. It doesn't excuse it. But when people are just open about it, you know, and they just say, yeah, I mean, that's what I am. That's who I
right,
am.
Right.
It's really different.
Yeah, they pull over Be Real and they go, yeah, Cypress Hill, yeah. Oh, you're Be Real? Go ahead, sir. Move right along.
Okay, have we promoted pot smoking enough?
I'm just saying, there are certain people that should be outside the law, and that's, you know, Willie Nelson is one of them.
All right, next topic for Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, TMZ Television. Check your local listings on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk about this later on with our listeners, but we were fascinated by the woman in the Charlie Sheen case, who you've been doing quite a bit on TMZ.com, who claims she is not a prostitute. She was not paid for sex. That's still what she's standing by, right? Is she was a paid escort to be a date for the evening with Charlie Sheen, right?
That's right. Because Charlie needs a dinner date.
Yes.
She was going to be $3,500 a night because Charlie just cannot find companionship to save his life.
So he was going to pay $3,500 to have dinner with her.
But the funny thing about it is that we got these text messages that were sent back and forth the day, literally hours after this whole crazy incident. And Charlie sent her an email, a text, and he said, you know, I didn't pay your fee, and I know I messed up your Prada purse, and, you know, would $20,000 cover it? Would that be okay?
Wow. Dude.
I know.
Isn't the answer yes?
No, the answer, she was saying she didn't have a bank account, and they were trying to figure out how to do it.
What?
But all she cared about, I mean, it's funny, because she's saying that Charlie, all she cared about was that purse.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like, dude, you damaged my Prada purse. It's not cool.
So he says $20,000 and she says $2 million. Like she.
Well, she didn't say $2 million.
No, but then. I mean that's probably what's happening.
Well, that's what's happened. But they were just going back and forth. And this is what's so funny about it. In these texts, he's saying, you know, with $20,000 working, you know, you're really sexy and really cool and just really good person to be around.
She is.
You just trashed the hotel room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you were just screaming at her and calling her a whore, and she was fearing
allegedly.
For her life. Right, exactly.
Was she just looking for cash when she said, I don't have a bank account? She just wanted him to give her a bunch of cash?
I couldn't figure it out. I mean, she was saying she didn't have a bank account, so they were trying to figure out, like, if a mutual friend or somebody could work on this and go to the bank and get the money.
Yeah, she wanted cash so she wouldn't declare it or anything.
It was a mess. But the question I have for you, Harvey, before you have to go to your meeting is, and we're going to talk about this with our listeners later, you've been covering Hollywood and celebrities and stories like this for a long time. Is there any possibility that a service like that exists where you pay that kind of money to have somebody be your date? Just arm candy for the night where there's something additional?
I think so. Because, you know, there are people, lonely people out there, and people prey on that, and people will, and I wouldn't even say prey. I mean, there are people who say, look, you know, I'll be a companion for somebody, and they're lonely, and they'll do it. Charlie Sheen?
Yeah. I agree.
Not likely.
And
not
he was
likely.
Having right dinner with friends and his ex-wife.
And the ex and the ex-wife has told friends, literally, she walked in to that restaurant, looked at Capri, and said, "I can name that tune in one note."
Wow. Yeah. Well, do you think they tried the
donkey punch?
You think that's the problem?
I don't know that we're going to get into that.
I'm saying, do you think that's where things went south?
You got to call somebody else for that one.
Screaming exactly. Porpoise.
All right, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ Television. They do a hell of a job. Harvey Levin, thanks so much for joining us. Have a fantastic week, my friend.
You too, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
You think they did the
chili dog?
No, I'm just saying. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 6:39.
Here's the song.
Here's the song.
The long temp.
It is, yeah.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Wow. Look at those.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
This is going to be fun.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
You can go to KevinBean.com and see all of the contestants, our top 10 finalists who vie to be Miss Double December 2011. And then, of course, you can join us this coming Friday. We'll be live at the Fullerton Slide Bar, same location as the last couple of years, and that's the pageant. And that's where you get a chance to meet the girls, see the interviews, the swimsuit competitions, and all the talent and everything else that we do. Ladies and gentlemen, very excited to welcome the first for the new crop. Tiffany has joined us in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show. Hi, Tiffany. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah.
A little timid.
Tiffany got up at 2:30 in the morning to prepare and then drive to the Kevin and Bean Show today to be with us here. So automatically she gets points for effort.
And was minorly late. That's funny.
This coming from Kevin, by the way, who can't make it to his own show.
How
so don't feel
you.
Bad, Tiffany.
We've been starting earlier than normal, I think.
Nope.
All right. We only have a few minutes to get to know Tiffany before we get a chance to see her in person again on Friday. First of all, how'd you hear about the competition and what made you enter? What made you think, hey, that's for me?
I was actually at Disneyland in line waiting for Nemo, and it was a long wait, and I was on the K-Rock website looking at the Almost Acoustic Christmas and stuff like that. And I saw all the entries from the girls from last year, and I was thinking, well, maybe I could do that.
I could do that. Look at them.
Well, so thank God you were killing time waiting for Nemo, or else you wouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
That's true.
I was inspired.
We're bored.
Or both.
It is a good way to see both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas concert if you are, in fact, crowned Miss Double December 2011. Now, Ralph, you put the entry form together on the website. You want to go through some of Tiffany's answers so we get to know a little bit more about her?
Yeah, we had Tiffany fill out the questionnaire, and here's some of her answers. If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? Tiffany wrote Memoirs of the Virginity Snatcher.
All right, we have a winner.
Yeah. Now, Tiffany, do you have a long
voting
history?
Is no longer needed. We're closing the polls.
Do you have a long history of dating guys who were virgins?
I do.
Really?
Yes.
And then you fixed that problem for them.
I did rectify it, yes.
Yes, and by rectify, you mean...
Now, do you date them? Is that a draw for you that they are virgins, or did it just work out that way? The guys you were attracted to happen to have never had sex?
Yeah, it just worked out that way. It wasn't
really
like a quest or anything.
Just, wow.
Yeah.
But aren't you ruining them for the rest of their lives if they start with you? Then where do they go to have sex again? I mean, come on.
I mean, start with the best and then go for the rest.
Right, but that's fine. But then it's all downhill for that person for the rest of his life.
At least I give him a few good pointers and tips to move on to.
You kind of teach a little bit.
Yeah, teacher. Right.
Now, they'll never get hotter.
Don't you find that the men the first time out maybe aren't as good for you, perhaps, as you are for them?
Well, they can think. I like to train them. If they think they know what they're doing and they don't know what they're doing, it's no good for me.
Most virgins don't, right? Yeah. So you'd have to train them.
Do it like this.
So you train them, and then you've got a stable of guys that are trained, if you want that.
Essentially.
Yes. That's what I figured. If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? X-rated vision, so I could see a man's package before I tested it out.
Yeah.
TSA. Three letters. T-S-N-A. You can do that. Package. How important? You have to see it before you know what you're getting into bed with.
Well, you can't exactly accept resumes for it or anything.
Right, but I'm saying.
So, it's a little bit important, pretty important.
Right. Yeah, I like how Kevin acted like he was from 60 Minutes there for a second. Because that package, how important? Anderson Cooper? Double December, relax there.
I don't know if you heard Psycho Mike crestfallen in the back of the room when you realized that she's looking for junk, and Mike just doesn't have it.
That was it.
If you're a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be? Tiffany answered, Bangin' Bambi.
All right.
Sounds like a title of your first film more than it does a name, but I would definitely rent it. If they named a new dessert after you, what delicious ingredients would be in it? Whipped cream, bananas, nuts, and cherries. Those are all sex terms. Those are all sex terms right there. Bananas, cherries, nuts, whipped cream.
We're not talking about food at all, are we? Or she's not, at least.
And if selected as a finalist, you'll be asked to perform in a talent show. What's your talent? Tiffany, describe what you answered as what your talent would be in the talent portion of our pageant.
Well, to say the least, I'm pretty flexible.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely put either leg behind my head.
Yeah.
And definitely do a little.
You can touch your tongue to one of the other parts of your body.
Yes.
Is this an standing?
Both? Hold on. What about both legs?
At the same time?
Yes.
Laying down?
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let me make a note. Both legs.
Oh, she was talking about doing the one leg while you were standing?
That's what I want to know. Is that in a standing position?
I could do it in a standing position against the wall, but if somebody wanted to help me a little bit, someone wanted to hold you up a little bit? Yeah.
But sitting down, you can put it behind your leg?
Definitely, yeah.
Could we take a little look-see right now? Are you limber enough? Is it too early in the morning? Do you need
to
stretch?
I did some stretches.
Did you?
Yeah.
She's limber.
Can you take your headset off so you don't hurt yourself and then show us what you're talking about?
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Bean, you can no longer talk to her because she doesn't have headphones on.
That's right. Keep that in mind.
By the way, I love a guest who does stretches before she comes into the Kevin and Bean show.
I do, too. That's the way to do it.
Tiffany is limbering up.
She's backing up. She's still sitting in her chair. You can get out of the chair if you want.
Do you want?
What can I do to help? Anything to help you?
All right.
You
want
to do it against the wall?
No, this is good if you're comfortable with that.
Oh my God. She's got. Oh. She is putting her leg behind her head.
She just did that thing she did with her boobs there, too. Yeah. So at least we know she wasn't lying when it came to the talent portion.
That was relatively easy as well.
Yeah.
It was not difficult.
I think I just lost my virginity all over again.
USA! 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 USA!
Apparently Dick Cheney approves.
There are no foreign competitors in this year's pageant, so I think we're okay.
Just excited and trying to figure out how to say it.
All right.
You can see Tiffany's pictures and see her application, and more importantly, vote for her at kevinandbean.com. She is one of our 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2011. Then the rest of the competition is going to be this Friday, and all the information about the live appearance, if you want to come on down. By the way, once again this year, we're doing the Toys for Tatas. We're teaming up with the United States Marine Corps to get toys collected for the needy at the holidays, and that's what you will need if you want to join us in person Friday. And am I right, guys? We also, thanks to Kevin's friends at Adult Chocolate Milk, we also have the webcast that's happening this year, too, for folks who are not able to join us, right?
That's correct, yes.
All right, Tiffany, any final words for Tiffany fans out there who are on the fence whether to vote for you or not about why you want to be Miss Double December 2011?
I want to be Miss Double December 2011 because I'm pretty. I may not be very witty, but...
Don't care.
just vote for me.
Vote for her.
You are pretty and you're sweet, which is more important than brains.
Yeah.
I do have a degree, though. I do. I have a bachelor's degree.
In?
Administration management.
What do you do for a living currently?
Waitress due to the economy. You know.
What kind of place do you work at?
Red Lobster.
Oh, that's okay.
What's the name of the place you work at? I guess I could have asked.
Red Lobster.
Oh, she says that like it might disqualify her.
Oh, sorry. We hate fish. I'm sorry. You have to go. No, that's great. Congratulations on that whole Red Lobster thing.
And we will see you Friday, Tiffany. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:56.
What's everybody laughing at?
We just love Kevin's new show, Regis and Kelly Lee. We just want to watch that show.
How dare you?
Kevin is like Grandpa who has trouble keeping any of the names of anything straight. It's very, very amusing for the rest of us. All right, more Miss Double D contestants on the program today. Ken Block will be here talking about an unbelievable driving
Block.
Event. Also, our friend Steve Ho is going to be on the program. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday. What's happening?
Block! One of Jim Rome's favorite guests.
Yes.
I hear him talking about him all the time. Oh, it's just death everywhere. Death.
Wow.
Death. Death. It's bad enough. One of the greats, Leslie Nielsen, has shuffled off this mortal coil, as the bard said. But now we find out that one of my favorite directors, Irvin Kershner, has passed away. That name may not be familiar to you, but he's...
He directed
the best Star Wars of them all, The Empire Strikes Back. Irvin Kershner's work.
That was the second one, right?
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah, the second of the original trilogy.
That was great.
He had been a filmmaker since the 50s, worked for a long, long time before George Lucas hired him to helm Empire Strikes Back. He also did the last Sean Connery James Bond movie, Never Say Never Again. And he also did the sequel to RoboCop 2. He was a journeyman director who never quite got his deserved praise, but Empire Strikes Back still probably the favorite with most Star Wars fans, so he will forever be known as the guy who did the best work with that franchise. Not too shabby, Mr. Kirshner. He was 87 years old today. Not today, but when he died. Let's talk about the hot movies at the box office this weekend. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 continues to be the biggest money maker by far this holiday season. $78 million for the five-day holiday weekend. A lot of people went to see that.
Not a very good ending, all I'm saying.
It's just the first part.
Really didn't.
Part 2 is coming
out. No satisfaction when you walk out of the theater.
Part 2 will resolve that storyline for you there, Kev. Tangled 3D, in its debut, also did very well for itself. $67 million over the Thanksgiving five-day weekend. Wow. That is the second best Thanksgiving holiday weekend opening in the history of movies.
Wow. No way.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed because Disney is not known for their family-friendly films. So for them to step outside their comfort zone for something like this is impressive.
What? Megamind 3D also did very well. It was number 3 at the box office. Burlesque came in at number 4 in its debut weekend. Unstoppable. Love and Other Drugs. Faster. Due Date. The Next 3 Days. And Morning Glory Hole rounding out the top.
Whoa,
I'm sorry. Morning Glory was number 10 at the box office. My bad. I should have looked at that more carefully. Angelina Jolie did not celebrate Thanksgiving like you and me.
What?
Apparently Angelina hates Thanksgiving.
Okay.
She says she wants no part in rewriting history like so many other Americans to celebrate what white settlers did to the Native Indians. The domination of one culture over another just isn't her style, says a friend.
Yeah, we all sat around the Thanksgiving table and we said, wasn't that great when we wiped out the Indians?
So sweet. Oh. We took their land and killed their bison.
Man, that was good.
It's awesome. First they helped us out and then we wiped them out.
I wish we could do that again.
We're number one. We're number one. Yeah,
Lucky for us, the Indians never said, let's round up all these pilgrims and send them back where they belong.
Good point.
That's a good point.
Good
Thank
point.
You, man.
Yeah. Look, we're not proud of our history when it comes to treating the indigenous peoples of this nation. We acknowledge that. But Thanksgiving has become something more than just the historical monument of our domination over the Indians.
Really,
at that time, when the first Thanksgiving, they weren't dominating. They were thankful. They were thankful to have the maize and the help from Sacagawea and Chief Charlie Horse and all the other friendly Indians. That was a nice moment. That was the best moment of the entire relationship with the Indians. Let's celebrate that moment before things went sour with smallpox and things. And Manhattan and stuff. And beans. You know,
tears.
What have you.
Death.
Hey, so, we let them have some casinos.
Yeah, look, they're doing pretty well themselves right now, I gotta say. Yeah,
they got a baseball team. We gave them a baseball team, right?
So Angelina That's said different. To make up for it, she's adopting all American Indians. So
wow.
Congratulations, people. You're now an official of Jolie Pitt. You're now stands with 2 feet Jolie Pitt. It's pretty cool. Today's celebrity birthdays, Vin Scully.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Dodgers broadcaster for many, many years is 83 years old today. Comedian Gary Shandling is 61. Joel Cohen of the directing and writing Coen Brothers is 56. Howie Mandel is 55. Kim Delaney is 49 years old today. Tom Sizemore is also 49. Don Cheadle celebrates his 46th birthday. Gina Lee Nolan of Baywatch is 39. And Anna Faris from Scary Movie and many, many other feature films. She's 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
One of our favorites from the Jackass crew, Steve-O, joins us later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we're hoping, if she makes it in time, we'll get to meet contestant number 2, vying for Miss Double December 2011. Christine, apparently, on her way down here for her interview. And don't forget, the live pageant is going to be this Friday. Get all the details at kevinandbean.com if you want to join us in person or watch it on the webcam.
I don't get sad when when celebrities die, usually. I mean, it's not that I'm happy.
I mean, if they're old.
Yeah, if they're old and they lived a good life, it's not that I'm happy, I'm not sad, I just it's just it's somebody else's loss and I feel bad for them, but it doesn't affect me either way. Leslie Nielsen, in a lot of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And he passed away, and this is a little clip package of some of his better work.
There's no such thing as a UFO.
Don't spell in front of me, damn it.
How about a rain check?
Well, let's just stick to dinner.
Can you fly this plane and land it? Land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Something's not right.
I know what you mean. Like that feeling that something's not right. These men died for their country. Send flowers to their bitches and hoes.
Oh, nice Bieber.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I just want to tell you both, good luck. Good luck. We're all Canadian. I'm Lieutenant Frank Brebin, police squad.
Now, we were lucky enough to have Mr. Nielsen on the program a couple of times over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I was thinking shortly after I heard that he died, and I was also sad, if he was as far gone in 2008 when we talked to him, imagine what he was like in 2010.
Is that what it was 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago, last time we had him on, and we do have some highlights of that interview because we still talk about it as one of the most legendary interviews of all time, and I think, I'm not making fun of an old man here, I think he was having as much fun on the radio with us as we were with him.
Yeah, I couldn't tell, though. Like, I felt bad at the same time because I didn't know if he really understood what was going on.
Yeah.
But I think we were talking to him about Epic Movie, and that was one of those spoofs that spoofed a lot of different types of movies, and I wanted to know how many of those you'd seen.
You guys spoof War of the Worlds, you spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the... Who am I talking to?
It's Kevin. Kevin.
Kevin, you know, I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct, yes.
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
We're in Dallas, yes.
So that happened. And, yeah.
It was an odd line of questioning with the whole the police work and then the Dallas. But I think, now, I never saw Epic Movie, but was there a scene in the film where he plays basketball?
Well, there was a scene. Shaq was in it, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And he was and he was like shooting literal bricks at the basket. I mean, but it was
That's what he was talking about. Then, he was just naming another scene in the movie, right?
Probably, but it was only a 15-second scene,
right?
Right.
But I was talking about all the other movies.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, your question was, how many of those movies have you seen? And then he came back with pulling out, how about the basketball game? It was weird. But, you know, we're in Dallas, and we got to expect that.
That's
kind of,
true.
Kind of interview.
At that point, I just decided to go with it. We're whoever you want us to be, and we're in Dallas, because I like you. So a lot of the movies that he did are really difficult to pull off.
For a lot of people, just impossible to pull off. You are the expert in them.
Well, that's very nice of you to say that. Do you do any work on Honeymoon?
What?
I don't know what that means.
Well, do you have to know what it means?
No. Oh, I see what you're saying. I think I see what you're saying. Do you any work on Honeymoon's meaning?
Tell me what I said then, my God. That's going to be a first.
Wow. Okay, so what you were trying to say, Kevin, is it must be tough to do those lines with a straight face because they're so funny.
Right.
How are you able to keep it together?
Right.
Right? And then he came back and said, nice of you to say, do you do any work on Honeymoons, meaning what?
I don't know, but I remember that you spent 2 minutes trying to explain it. Like, and we don't, usually when somebody says something that doesn't make sense, we pounce on it. And we mock
him. But he's old.
But he's old, and we like him, and
you're trying to figure it out any way you can.
Bean spent 2 minutes, like, putting together this intricate explanation where he figured out how he got from my question about delivering, you know, those incredibly tough lines to, do you do work on Honeymoons? And it all made sense. And then he said, no, that's not it.
I wish I remembered what my explanation is because I can't imagine what it was.
I've never seen you bend over backwards more to try and make it make sense for somebody.
Poor Leslie Nielsen.
And then we asked him about Pamela Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the good one.
What about working with fellow Canadian actor Pam Anderson? You have scenes with her, Leslie?
Boy, you had to bring that up.
Yes.
My day was going really well.
What?
There was sadness in my day whatsoever.
What? What's that? What are you talking about?
Pam Anderson?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Well, you brought it up, and I realized that I'm lonely again.
Oh, I see. That's what it is. Okay.
So you did work with her, and it was sweet. That's what you're saying.
No, I didn't do any work with her.
Okay. What's happening there? Because when he got all depressed at the mention of Pam Anderson's name, we thought, now we've done it. Now we've stepped in it because clearly there's bad blood, or they didn't get along, or something like that.
Or they didn't get along really well, and he missed something.
He was sad because he never worked with her.
Could be.
Impossible to know.
But we were just trying. I mean, for us, that's really going a long way to try and help a guest.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike writes in, Kevin B. Lister, Mike writes in, wants to know if Leslie Nielsen was doing that on purpose to play with us, or was he, as we fear, clueless and not really following the conversation?
I'd like to say doing it on purpose to screw with us, because the other way is sad.
You know this way is pretty funny.
I mean, it really,
Sam Anderson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you brought it up, and I realize that I'm lonely again.
Oh,
I see. What it is. Now, here we go into let's figure it out in explain it mode.
Okay. So
you did work with her, and it was sweet. That's what you're saying.
No, I didn't do any work with her.
Okay,
good. Now I'm sad that we're not going to get to talk to Leslie Nielsen again. Come on, let's fire up the hotline to heaven. Yes, it is the most wonderful time of the year. This Friday, we are crowning Miss Double December 2011. Hey, it's time to meet another one of our contestants.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel, and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Christine, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Christine.
Oh, yeah.
Joins easy, us here easy, on the Kevin Beach Show. She is contestant number 2 of 10 young ladies vying to be Miss Double December 2011. You can go to kevinandbean.com and cast your vote. You can see the bio. You can see pictures. But this is an opportunity for us to meet you ahead of the live pageant on Friday. We have details on the website of that as well. How are you, Christine? Welcome.
I'm good, thanks.
Off the air, we had a conversation just before the record ending, and that is maybe you're too big for Miss Double December right there. And
no,
she said, nope.
No.
34 double D.
Yeah.
34, 32. What did
Mike
you say?
Was the only one who thought 30. She wouldn't be right for the competition.
Oh,
right
I, didn't
say, yeah. I didn't say she wouldn't be right. I was just curious if she was, in fact, overqualified.
Man, there's no such thing as overqualified.
I agree.
That's true.
I agree.
He was just
number.
Asking her to tell
him. How big are your boobs?
Yes, that's double exactly D, what he was saying.
Double D is the baseline, but you can be anything above that and still be in the competition. Now, how long have you had the girls, Christine?
Well, I've been qualified for this for about, just about a year. Year and a half, so
well right. done.
Yeah, I definitely wanted double D.
Yes, and do you have any beauty pageant experience or any other titles or crowns that you've held in the past, or is this going to be your first attempt?
Yeah, I mean, I've done basic pageants and stuff for scholarships before, but this is just so much more fun to me. Like, that's not really my thing, and I think that this is kind of more fun and real.
Well, we don't give you a scholarship, if that's what you mean.
Speaking of scholarships, you're not only beautiful, you're smart. You're a psychology student, right?
Yes, I am.
Now, do you plan to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist at some point?
Well, I go to Cal State Fullerton, right. And
go
I'm
Wombats.
Actually a senior.
I don't know what their mascot is.
I doubt they're
that's
the Wombats.
Kind of a plan. Titans.
Go Titans.
Titans.
But if you were a psychologist and I came into your office and I had a problem,
yeah.
I would have a bigger problem once I realized that you were my psychologist, because I wouldn't be able to focus on my own mental health.
Aw, no. Like, I mean, I've considered that definitely. Like, grad school's been in my plans for a really long time, so that's kind of what I've been preparing for.
I'm interested in the second half of that, where it says occupation, psychology student / amateur sex therapist.
Yes.
That's a joke.
Like, at school, I've been the course assistant for a psychology class on human sexuality for the past couple years now, so it's kind of a joke because I have office hours and everybody takes this class.
Yeah, I bet they do.
I'm sure
they
do.
When you're the course assistant.
No, Ken, did you see who's teaching sex?
The teacher, the professor who teaches that class is a genius for making you the course assistant, by the way.
Really, that is one of my favorite
of course it is.
Areas of research.
Yes,
that's
because
one
look at you. Because look at you. That's why.
Why do you want to be Miss Double December? You said you're not into pageants. What is it about this competition that changed your mind?
Well, this is just fun. I've heard of it before and I've gone to the event and everything.
Oh, you've come before?
Yeah.
Because we're right down there in Fullerton.
Yeah, right near
it's your school.
Right in Fullerton, so. Yeah. Right. A lot of people I know always go to it and it's just a lot of fun, and I think it's just kind of fits me like something that has to do with boobs and yes. Something just kind of
fun.
It
fits you,
like,
but it's very tight, it turns out.
It's very tight.
This live broadcast, by the way, that Christine is talking about is going to be this Friday. We're back with our friends at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. All the details at kevinandbean.com. And we are asking that you bring a new unwrapped toy. The Marines will be there. It's our Toys for Tata's annual campaign, and you can't get in without that. If you're not able to join us, we do have a webcast brought to you by our friends at Adult Chocolate Milk. Again, you can get all those details at kevinandbean.com. Ralph, what else on the questionnaire from Christine might be worth bringing up here during this pre-pageant interview?
Christine, like all the girls, filled out our questionnaire, and we asked her, if you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? Christine answered, I know why the caged horse sings.
All right.
Yes.
Why does the caged horse sing?
I'm The next Maya Angelou.
Yes, you are.
You certainly are. You're the hottest Maya Angelou ever.
Thank you. No, I mean, Maya that Angelou. Was kind of a joke. But really, I mean, I was thinking, oh, well, of course I could make up something. You know, but sure. Honestly, no, it's very I was clever. Like, you know what? It kind of makes sense.
It's
because
funny.
It's, I use that more as a term of endearment, I guess.
If they named a new dessert after you, what delicious ingredients would be in it? And you put red velvet cupcake mix, mace, made with bourbon, plus vanilla frosting, and sprinkled with atomic fireballs and warheads.
Of all the girls in the competition, this is the only dessert we really kind of talked about almost as much as we did your pictures. Because it sounds awesome. I want to eat it now. Have you made this before?
No, I haven't made it. Well, I've made drunken cupcakes like that before.
Right.
But I haven't tried it with both, but those are some of my favorite candies.
That sounds
so
great.
That does sound
explosive
great.
And
you can see Christine's picture at KevinMead.com if you want to cast your vote for her, and why wouldn't you? We only have time, really, for a couple more minutes here, and we got to get to your talent, because this is an unusual one. Tell people what you filled out on the application on the website.
Well, basically, I can take beer bottles, mm-hmm. and the twist-off kind,
right.
and I can use my boob just to open them. So
come on!
It sounds painful.
We have
but
a winner!
It does sound painful.
But
how did
it's
you
like,
discover
once I
you
do
could
it,
do this?
It kind of makes sense. I'd always wanted to do something like
with
I
your
couldn't
boobs?
Smash cans like that one.
Right. You're going to want to smash cans
so
like her.
That's not possible for me. So I don't know. It just kind of came up. I was like, oh, I bet I could do that. And I was just threatened. I like, actually did it. But some are trickier than others. But
so you put a beer bottle between your boobs and then are able to manipulate them to twist the cap off?
Yeah, it's kind of like the pressure of it. Like, you have to kind of bend over.
We need to see that. I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to tell.
I'm more worried than I am excited. I don't want you to rupture anything or spring a leak or anything.
I don't want to. Yeah, sometimes. All
right, how many times have you done this before?
She's got her headphones off. So I'll ask her. Christine, how many times have you done this before?
I've done it a lot. Yeah.
Different
angles.
Every time
stuff,
she goes to a bar.
So you know what you're doing.
Yes.
We are shooting video of this, and it is going to be up at KevinMead.com as well. She brought her own beer. Very nice.
I don't want to.
What can we do to help? Anything?
Electronic equipment.
No, don't worry.
No, you're fine. Don't worry about that.
We
don't
care. Help me win in the travel. Okay, ready?
Yeah. She's got the beer bottle in her right hand. Pulling her blouse down.
Yes, she is.
She's taking the beer bottle in between.
Yeah, there she goes. She's compressing the cap on the beer bottle.
All right.
Trying to get the girls wrapped around there. And
there it goes! Yeah! Wow!
And she got beer on them!
Yeah, and then it becomes like a wet t-shirt contest right afterwards.
Good. I just get
free drinks all the time.
We have a winner! Voting is over.
Fantastic.
That's really impressive.
I know. I speak for the room when I ask Lisa May, why can't you be more like Christine? Come on.
Some people just have talent. What are you going
to
do?
You're going to have to work on that one.
Are your boobs okay?
Yeah, they're okay.
All right.
Do they need to be patted down or
they're
anything?
They're a little wet.
Okay. It's a little wet.
They've got some beer on them. Licked clean or anything?
That's a service they're
right.
You're wearing like a Harry Potter sweater and everything. God, you're like a fantasy. Walked right out of my brain.
You can see Christine's pictures and soon video up at KevinAndBean.com. Please do the right thing and vote for her. And Christine, we will see you in person this Friday down in Fullerton at the Slide Bar. Good luck. Congratulations.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
I don't know. Don't we need some sort of a palate cleanser, some sort of a buffer? You can't go from Tiffany, the Miss Double December 2011 contestant, right into Steve-O.
Or Christine. You can't go from
Christine.
Her. Right.
Or either one. They're both here today, but you can't then transition into Steve-O, right?
It's a pretty... It's jarring, I'll give you that.
It is.
Although we love Steve-O. Hey, Steve.
Yeah, dude. Oh? How's it going?
How are you? Steve-O, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. And this is a very special appearance because I think many people will be surprised to hear what you are doing this week. Thursday through Sunday, tell folks what's happening down in Irvine.
I will be doing comedy shows down at the Irvine Improv. Yeah.
Stand-up shows, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Come on.
Stand-up comedy. Now, tell us about your... crafting, what do you have, like an hour and a half, a couple hours?
No, it's not like that, man.
10 minutes?
I started getting into stand-up like 4 years ago, and I've been really at it for a while now. So, you know, I mean, when I say a while, like I've been doing it like constantly for like the last 3 months.
Wow. That's like a whole career's worth of paying your dues.
Yeah, but no, it's great, man. I don't have any like hour and a half or anything, but... I'll be I'll be doing like a half an hour of my own material, and
I imagine your material is more stories than jokes.
Sure, it's both. You know, it's both, and a lot of it's just built around how some notoriety.
You cannot.
Oh, sorry.
But you can say it at the show.
I can say all kinds of stuff at the show. Yeah. I'm showing up to divulge entirely too much information.
So if you'd like to find out about Steve-O's unit, you can go to the improv, Irvine Improv, Thursday through Sunday.
It's interesting. There's no one in America, thanks to the Jackass show and movies, who hasn't seen Steve-O's junk or ass, okay? No, there's nothing shocking about that. But this is an entirely new side of Steve-O, and I can't even imagine what it must have been like for you, even though you're a very funny guy, and we've always known that. The first time you got up on stage and you realized, hey, I've got a room full of people looking at me, did you just melt down, or did it seem pretty easy to you, Steve-O?
No, I loved it, man. I absolutely loved it.
The first time, no kidding, because most people say it's just painful, and then they have to work through it, then they get confidence, and it gets better.
I think the pain would be before I got up the first time.
The nerve.
I was there, I was like, wow, this is great.
But one of the things that you have going for you, and I'm sure you've noticed this in the last 3 months that you've been working so hard at your craft, is that people already love you. People are already excited to see you because, let's face it, you're already super famous, even though you're a new stand-up comedian. Everybody already knows and loves you. And they're really, really rooting for you because a lot of people know your backstory. So, I mean, you do have the audience's goodwill starting out.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be my third like professional engagement, I guess. Like, I did 6 shows down in Marco Island, Florida. I just finished doing 7 shows at Caroline's on Broadway.
Wow. Wow. That's big time.
Now, how many are you doing?
Caroline's on Broadway. It's super big time, man. I can't even believe it.
How many are you doing at the Irvine Improv? You're doing Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's 6 shows.
Six shows.
Thursday, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, 1 show Sunday.
All right, here's my question for you, and if the answer is not yes, I'm not coming, all right? Do you do this?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, huh. There's a new boy in town, and I don't like to frown. That's why I lay it down. Hey,
Steve-O's a gangster.
Whack it, smack it, let's make a racket. I'm so tough, I always attack it.
Gangster.
Come on!
Yeah, if you guys show up, I promise I will do that.
If we sing back up, Steve-O's a gangster.
Steve-O, last time we had you on the show was the week that Jackass 3D opened up, and we knew it would be a hit. But I mean, it was a mega hit. Are you guys just there's no way you can be more proud of how well that film was received, right?
It did very well. Thank you. Yeah.
And 2.5, are you already editing? Because when you were here, you were telling us, was Johnny Knoxville, you shot enough for 2 movies.
Right, yeah, we have 3.5, and that'll be coming out, I heard, in January.
All right, fantastic.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, it's a good time to be Steve-O, it sounds like. You can see him live on stage Thursday through Sunday, 6 big shows at the Irvine Improv at the Irvine Spectrum. It sounds like a lot of fun. You can get those tickets at improv.com. Yes, Steve?
And one thing, you know, you guys make a point that maybe 3 months isn't the longest time to be working at a craft. But, I really insist on making myself available to, shoot photos and sign autographs for, like every single person that comes. So if that, you know, that helps out, too.
That's very cool.
And, certainly the comics I'll be doing the show with are hilarious as well. And, the biggest thing that I contribute to the show is just, like, literally having no shame and being willing to just divulge entirely too much information. Say things that I really shouldn't say, and clearly tell some stories about what goes on behind the scenes. So it is a good time, man. And all the shows that I've done so far, everyone's had a blast.
But listen, I don't doubt that at all, man. I think you're a hilarious guy. I would love to see this show, and I think people should go out to the
improv. Come down, man. Come down.
I don't want to see it that much.
listen, it's Thursday through Sunday, right?
Yeah,
every night?
December 2nd through December 5th.
All right.
Yeah, man, it's getting better and better, and it's a hoot. So come on down and do your deal.
Go to improv.com.
I promise, if you guys show up, I will rap.
I don't believe you.
That's pretty tempting, though. That's pretty damn tempting, I'll tell you that. All right. The only man in America still using the word hoot. Go see him on stage at the improv.com. Steve-O, we love you, man. You're always welcome on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you.
Hey, thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
This is the week on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are giving away tickets to both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas shows coming up, not this weekend, but next. And we've got night number two, December 12th, tickets for you to see Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Bread and Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp, and the Magnetic Zeros and Broken Bells. We'll give you a chance to win those coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Keep listening for your chance to call in. Right now, Ralph Garman's got the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
I bought Broken Bells some new bells, so they're all good.
Did you? Okay,
yeah. Now they're the new bells. So
excellent.
Look for them on night two, won't you? Before I get to the showbiz news, I do have some passes to give away to another one of our legendary advanced screenings. This one is for a film that I've been looking forward to since I heard they were going to make a movie about Mickey Ward. The Fighter is the name of the film. Stars Mark Wahlberg. Christian Bale stars as his brother slash trainer slash albatross around his neck. Opens in select theaters next Friday, December the 10th. You get to see it before anybody else does at the Paramount Pictures Theater. Get to see it on the lot if you are one of the lucky callers on December the 9th. First five callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through get a pair of passes to the advanced screening of The Fighter.
Looks intense. That
looks way intense. And Melissa Leo is in the film. She plays Mark's mom in the film, I believe. She was my wife in Interstate.
What?
Yeah, she's a great actress, a sweet, sweet lady.
So Mark Wahlberg is your son?
That's how it works, Kevin, yes. All the movies just cross-pollinate, and we're somehow we're all related.
Interesting.
So, looking forward to it. Oh, good for you! Christian Bale. Have you heard his interview? I'll have to bring it in. His interview talking about the next Batman film?
No.
While he's promoting The Fighter? And apparently he always sticks in whatever accent he's working in at the time. So okay. Because he's talking about The Fighter this week, even though he filmed it a year and a half ago, he has to talk like Mickey Ward's brother while talking about Batman. It's very disconcerting.
That's weird.
It's like, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to do another Batman. It's probably going to be the last one I do, though. It's like, where did Batman come from? Brooklyn or wherever the hell he's
hey,
from.
At least we can understand him now.
Beedtown, I guess, Boston. It was very odd. Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do it every Monday. Harry Potter, Deathly Hallows, Part 1. Made over $78 million for the Friday holiday weekend, making it number one by far. But also having a very showing was Tangled, the new film from Disney, made $67 million.
That's unbelievable that $67 million is enough to be number one.
No, it's good enough to be the second best Thanksgiving weekend opening in movie history, oh, which is pretty intense. Megamind came in number two, then Burlesque was fourth, Unstoppable, Love and Other Drugs, Faster, Due Date, The Next 3 Days, and Morning Glory round out the top 10 at the box office. Speaking of Love and Other Drugs, star of that film, Anne Hathaway, and also star of 127 Hours, James Franco, apparently they have been asked by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences to host the Oscars next year.
To host the Oscars?
Yeah, it looks like they have accepted the offer, according to Deadline.com, the entertainment news website.
Not ever. No way.
Oh, finally, hilarious James Franco is going to be up there spinning zingers to the audience during the...
That doesn't sound right.
That's a strange choice.
Like a young Harrison Ford up there.
It's really weird.
Now, Hathaway is funny and can sing and dance and do all that kind of stuff. I can see why they would include her. If you remember when Hugh Jackman, one of the years he hosted, he brought her up on stage and they did a big comedy musical number together. She's terrific. Franco, I find him less than enthusiastic when it comes to him in person.
He does
great
seem
actor,
pretty low-key.
Don't get me wrong, but not exactly the life of the party.
This would be a kind of a reinvention to try to bring in more younger people to watch the Oscars, I would imagine, rather than go with a Steve Martin or somebody like that.
Somebody
that
with two arms.
In the past.
Yeah. I hear you.
I think James Franco has both arms as an actor.
I
just
saw.
In the movie, he
cut it off.
Yeah, that's not...
That sounds weird. I can't... All right.
Well, call the Academy, Bean. I don't know what to tell you. A strongly worded letter. It's all I can suggest.
Maybe I will.
I got nothing for you. I have no recourse. I can't take this back. It's a news story. I don't know what you need.
I thought you run Hollywood. Do you like it or not? If you don't like it, then
it won't
happen.
I'm on the board of Hollywood, but other people, you know, we have to have meetings. We have to take minutes and stuff. I can't just wave a magic wand and make things happen.
I'm uncomfortable with it. I'm saying stop it.
Sad news. We've already talked about the death of Leslie Nielsen, one of the true talents. Very, very funny man. He's been in a bunch of funny films. Passed away at the age of 84 years old. And now we got news this morning that director Irvin Kershner, best known for directing the Star Wars sequel, The Empire Strikes Back, has also passed away here in Los Angeles at the age of 87 years old. Originally born in Philadelphia, I'll have you know.
Yeah.
But left, I bet.
That's where all the geniuses come from.
Sure.
That's what I've always said. He also directed Never Say Never Again with Sean Connery, with the last James Bond movie that Sean Connery ever did. And RoboCop 2 was also his film, so he got that going for you.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Of the Coen brothers, Joel is 56 years old today. How great does True Grit look, by the way?
Oh, my it's great. God.
Can't wait can't to see that wait. Film. Gary Shandling is 61 years old today. L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully celebrates his 83rd birthday. Yeah. Leslie Nielsen's gone. Vin's still walking around.
Come on.
Baseball. That seems fair. Howie Mandel, deal or no deal? He is 55 years old. Kim Delaney's 49. Tom Sizemore also turns 49. Who would have guessed he would have got to 49?
No kidding.
Tom Sizemore. Don Cheadle's 46. Black don't crack. Man looks good.
Sure does.
Gina Lee Nolan from Baywatch is 39. And Anna Faris, Scary Movie, and a ton of great films. She is super talented. She is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show. But
got a lot going on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including voting for Miss Double December 2011. All the girls have their pictures up. We are interviewing them throughout the week, and you can come down to the live pageant on Friday to see who gets crowned to represent the Kevin and Bean Show next year. You can do that at kevinandbean.com. Also, accomplished skateboarder, snowboarder, motocross rider, rally car driver Ken Block joins us later this hour, too. That's coming up, too, on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, wedding DJ Bean. Yay. A little bit later on. If you can imagine him being a wedding DJ, you've seen it all.
You mean the Kevin and Bean microphones were there back when I used to have my sound system drive around and do people's weddings and parties?
What a horrible host you must have been.
Yeah.
We'd like you to play a love song.
No.
I'm going to play a record of Evan Fitzgerald. But you just played that.
That was the required first dance song at every wedding I did.
First, though, this Charlie Sheen story is odd. Because she claims that she was getting paid. The Charlie Sheen story is that Capri Anderson, who calls herself... Does she call herself a porn star?
She says she's a porn star,
okay, yes. That he hired her for sex. He was going to pay her $12,000. Then he abused her and everything went wrong. And she stole his watch. Who knows what really happened?
Right.
But she came out in the press and she was saying that she was only paid for dinner.
Now, this is an important distinction because you can admit to being a porn star because that is legal work, which, by the way, is one of the crazy things about this country. You can have sex for money and go to jail because you're a hooker, okay? Sex for money and somebody films it, now you're a porn star.
Right.
Completely legal.
Always film it is the answer.
How crazy is this world? So she says, and by the way, when the story first broke and I saw her being interviewed and she said, yeah, he was in the other room and he was, you know, she's hiding in the bathroom from him because she's afraid. And he's screaming, you're a whore. You're an effing whore. You're a whore. I thought to myself, well, yeah, you're a whore. But she's saying the opposite is true, that she's just a paid escort, that she was paid to spend time with him that night with no expectation whatsoever of sex.
And I don't know if you've seen the texts that went back and forth,
I have read some of those.
It really does sort of seem like it was not a big deal that night. But who knows? I mean, who knows what the truth is? But this is her being interviewed and explaining what it is she was planned, that she was paid to do.
I received a phone call from my agent offering me an appearance, or if you will, an invitation to a dinner party, a paid appearance.
And how much? $3,500?
It was $3,500.
As you know, his attorneys say that one of the reasons that this sort of got out of control is that you expected to be paid for sex. One of the figures that's been reported is $12,000.
No, I was offered $3,500 to attend a dinner party.
And George, if that were true, that would make Mr. Sheen nothing more than a John.
Okay, so that's her lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
If that were true, it would make Mr. Sheen nothing more than a John. And then, he says rightly.
Oh, but it would also say something about your client, of course.
Sure, that means he was a whore. Okay.
but here's what I don't understand. Charlie Sheen he's not in a city where he doesn't know anybody. In fact, he's in a city where he has plans to have dinner, the dinner that she referenced, with friends and family, including his ex-wife, right? Why does he need to pay somebody to be a date, to sit next to him at a table like that where he already, even if he's the loneliest little boy in the world, he already knows people at that dinner? He's not going to be by himself.
Doesn't sound right, does it?
My question is, can it really cost $3,500? By the way, they just threw that out like it's change in his pocket, which it may be for Charlie Sheen.
It is.
$3,500. Does that really happen just for dinner? Are you kidding? Shouldn't that happen for dinner and then sex and then spend the night and then sex in the morning and then make me breakfast? I mean, shouldn't that cover all
just
of that?
Cook too?
Yes.
Jeez, you're demanding.
$3,500.
And then a week in Hawaii, by the way, if I'm spending $3,500. I don't know. We had Harvey Levin from TMZ.com on the show earlier today, and I asked him, I said, irrespective of whether you believe in this case, because it involves Charlie Sheen, that money was being handed over for non-sexual activity, because I don't think any of us are buying that. Does that job exist? Can you get paid to be
a legitimate escort to go to a party or go to a dinner or go to an opera or whatever it is that the person wants. And really, that job is out there. And Harvey, it sounded to me, said, yeah, there are people who do that. There are people who will pay you to be a companion.
And really, no sex. Like, that's part of the deal, is that you spend $3,500 to take someone to a movie or a play or
dinner. No, but I think it's more high-powered men who are in big positions of responsibility,
right,
have some sort of function they have to go to,
right,
where they really do need a date, but they don't have time to find someone that's appropriate, and they might, and they don't really care about
the
sex.
They pick up, dial a porn star.
Want to go to some very nice escort service and hire someone to be on their arm for the evening.
Let me just back up for a second. You just said that they're high-powered and they're going to an event,
but they're
and
very
they need
busy.
Somebody, and that they don't care about sex. That's just not possible.
No, that night.
So I'm saying,
that's not on their agenda that
yes,
evening.
Yes, it is what I'm saying.
I think
it's
you're wrong.
On their agenda.
I think it happens.
Kevin can't imagine a night where sex isn't on the agenda as the goal.
Well, I'm saying if you're paying, I mean, $3,500, and by the way, that was not, it was supposed to be, according to Charlie Sheen or whoever, or some of the sources, it was supposed to be $12,000. For the night.
Yeah, well, that's another number
sex.
We heard, yeah.
But $3,000
well,
to go
know
to
what
dinner?
They cost.
So we thought we would take some calls from people, whether you hired somebody to go to dinner, or more likely, you've been in the position where you've been hired to go to dinner. And the understanding really is no sex.
Yeah.
And how much money can you get just for going to dinner with a dude?
Probably depends on what you look like.
Doesn't that seem so unbelievably just desperate and lonely and weak?
No.
I think
you're looking at it all wrong.
I think it exists. I think it is not nearly as common as the other, which is get paid for sex. But I think Lisa's right that there are guys who just need someone that's not going to embarrass him, that is classy, that can make conversation, that makes him look good, and there doesn't have to be anything more to it than
so you
that.
Hire a porn star?
Well, no, you don't hire a
well,
porn star.
Well, he did.
No. He did.
Okay.
He's full of crap.
So you're saying for the call-in topic, you don't have to be a porn star. You have to be a quote, escort,
yeah,
where you actually go to an event, and then he drops you off back home, or however it works, you drive back home, and then you never see each other again.
I mean, it's really not that different than paying for any number of other services. I mean, you pay for somebody to come out and, cook for you, for instance, and that's the expectation, is that they cook and then they get
not
money.
Not at Kevin's
and then they
house.
No way, you kidding?
No.
They cook so, and then I cook. Right. You know what I mean?
But this is just, their job is to stand next to you, look good, sound good,
mm-hmm,
be a good date, I guess. I bet we'll find people who have done it, certainly people who are familiar with it at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to take your calls on this topic. And I'll also remind you that on the Kevin and Bean Show, I don't know, maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that now, we had on a guy who was running a website for people who travel a lot. You're in Chicago for the night. You don't know anybody. Remember, you can go on and for $20 an hour, whatever it was, you can pick from people in that city who will go to the movies with you, or will go shopping with you, or will go to the mall, or will go have dinner or something like that, just so you don't be alone.
See, that seems pathetic, but maybe that's because I'm not that type of person. If I'm going to go out to dinner, I don't have to have someone with
me. But it could be fun.
No.
To have a nice person.
No, because
a pretty girl to sit and talk to you.
Well, you find
that would
those.
Be more fun
no,
than
but,
by yourself.
No, but the point is that you know, that small talk and you don't have anything in common with them. Like, that just seems like, what's the point of that?
It seems like too much work if you're already paying them.
Yeah, and you're spending money. I mean, come on, you're hiring just a dinner date. What's the point of that? You're that desperate to have somebody to have dinner with?
I've decided
order room service.
I'm going to put myself out there to be the guy you can hire to come to events.
Right. I would love to see that.
Oh, man.
I am a party. You
well,
know.
Here's the thing.
Right.
If you are going to a party that you want ruined, Bean is your man.
Here's what we're looking for. 1-800-520-1067. You have knowledge of non-sexual escorts. Preferably, you've been involved. Either you've paid somebody to hang out with you, essentially is what we're talking about.
Which means she says no at the end of the night.
Or you have been the person who has been paid to be the escort in a non-sexual way. That's what we're looking
for. Which means you said no at the end of the night.
I don't know.
There's always a question.
But we'll find out. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday, talking about a bizarre story in the news. By now, you've heard about Charlie Sheen and this woman. Who knows if who's blackmailing who? Who's going to pay off who to shut up? But the point of the story that really fascinated us is that her claim is there was no sex involved. There was no sex expected. She was just paid to be an escort for dinner. That's a real job. You can do that. That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. And believe it or not, Kevin, all the phone lines are filled.
Wow.
Lots of stories just like this. Let's start with Mike. He is on line two to get us going. We want to find out about this. Hey, Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, dude?
I had gone through a divorce, and I hadn't dated in 16 years, so I was looking for someone just to hang out with. And so I found a site that offered about $500 an hour, and they would just go out to dinner with you. Go to a movie, do whatever you want to do.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Mike, hold on. Mike, stop. Mike, hold on. Mike. Wait. We have questions. Mike. Hang on.
$500 an hour?
Yeah.
Seems like you could find it for less than that.
It seems like you could walk out of your house and offer the first girl you see $50 an hour to hang out with you and not have sex.
But you also want someone who looks good, has class when you're out. You're not looking like you're out with some slut. You want to look like you're out with a girl who's actually professional.
Oh, so this is about what other people think when they watch you?
Probably.
But you were hoping this would get back to your ex-wife.
But wait. Oh, was that it? Was it a burn?
I didn't care about that.
You didn't?
Uh-huh.
All right, so $500 an hour. So including traffic, parking, dinner, 3 hours minimum.
Yeah, it was an average of $1,500 a night.
Okay, was it because you had, like Lisa was talking about earlier, you had some event to go through, like a party or a work event or something like that where you needed somebody to be with you, or was it just for you to pass your own time?
The first two times was just for company, just to pass my own time because just kind of emotional stuff, and then after that I did bring her to an event. I had got divorced prior to my 16-year anniversary, so we actually went out with a bunch of friends and celebrated being divorced, and she was my date with all my friends, so I kind of lied to all my friends. They just thought we were dating.
Oh, my God. How many times did you pay her $1,500, and how many times did you get sex?
No sex, and probably five times with the $1,500.
So $2,500 you spent and no sex in any of those five dates.
More than that. No, five times.
Five times, $1,500. Yeah.
$7,500. Okay.
Wow.
All right, let me ask you this,
You're
Mike.
A bad, bad businessman.
And thank you for calling, by the way. But let me ask you this. Did you ever develop any feelings for her because she was such an awesome chick?
We actually both kind of did, and we actually hung out afterwards. Still not anything, but she actually wanted a date, and after that, I didn't kind of want a date after that. But after...
Too expensive.
Probably 2 months of that.
$500 an hour.
I just think you could. There's a lot of cheaper options, dude.
Next time you get
divorced, man. Seriously, think about that.
Yeah. Now, did she expect it, and you just didn't want to go there?
I think that we never talked about it.
Right, but had you talked about it, probably would have been okay, right?
Yeah, I think you would have paid a little more, and you would have got pretty much whatever you wanted. I just wasn't looking for it at the time, so. I just wanted to get out there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Mike, glad you called, sir. Thank you very much.
How
Let's try Christine, by the way. She was paid as the escort, the non-sex escort on line six. Hi, Christine. Thanks for calling in. What's going on?
Hey, how are you guys?
Hi.
You were 2 years as an escort.
Yes.
And it was mostly just business dinners with no sex.
Right.
How does that work? Tell us about that.
Well, you get a call from somebody and says, hey, do you want to have dinner? And it's usually a high-profile person, and you can either accept or decline.
So this is exactly what Capri Anderson was, that's what she was saying was happening with Charlie Sheen.
And
when you say high-profile, do you mean celebrities, or do you just mean people who are at the upper echelons of business?
I've never been with a celebrity. It was mostly people like higher end in the corporate world.
Okay.
And then was it clear to them that it was going to be a non-sexual evening?
Yeah.
Did you clarify that up front?
They're not looking for sex. They're just looking to basically show off to their peers.
Right.
Okay,
you show off to your peers.
Kevin doesn't believe that, though. You know that, right?
No, I'm saying I'm buying show off for peers, but then I'm saying if he's spending, how much did you get? How much was it?
It'd be a few thousand a night plus the cost for my dress, hair and makeup, sometimes jewelry, transportation.
So $2,000 to $4,000 a night.
Minimum-ish.
And they didn't want sex?
Well, see, here's the really nice part about it. If I was attracted to the person, I would offer sex. And it'd be up to them if they wanted to pay me or not. I was already getting paid, and it'd be like I'd be given the choice if I want to sleep with the guy or not.
So you would get the $5,000 or whatever it turned out to be anyway for the dinner.
Yeah.
That didn't include sex, but if you were open to it, then he could pay you more.
Yeah, yeah.
And what percentage of your dates decided to get the bonus?
All? Very few of them.
Very few? What's happening?
Kevin's
head's going to explode. My head's going to explode.
Because most of them were really old men, and I don't really
She didn't make the offer to them.
She didn't want to, right.
Christina, why did you quit? This seemed pretty lucrative.
No kidding.
Because, I'm actually engaged to a former client.
That's how it works.
Interesting. What kinds of events did you go to mostly in your 2 years as an escort?
The majority of it would be kind of like business dinners where some corporate execs wanted to just kind of get together and have dinner, you know, discuss business.
Just deadly dull.
How dull was that for you?
It was usually pretty dull, but that's the reason why they would bring girlfriends or, you know, pretty girls to kind of make things a little bit more interesting.
In a non-sexual way. Right, sure. We got that. Was part of your job to pretend that you were dating this person? Like, when you were talking to the other people at the dinner and their wives and girlfriends, were you kind of making it sound like you guys had been going out?
No, it was never expected for us to have any kind of history. Most of the times, I would say, this is our first time going out together, which isn't really what happened.
That's weird when they say, how did you meet? Well, he called my service.
I just got a call from the escort agency. How many times did guys ask for sex and you said, no?
It was very, that never really happened. I mean, nobody ever actually asked me for
What's
sex.
What's happening in this world? I don't understand.
Right. Last question, Christina. Now, were you vetted by this agency that represented you, that forwarded the calls to you? In other words, did they interview you and make sure that you were smart and classy and could blend in with the crowd and wouldn't embarrass the clients and stuff like that?
I've actually never worked for an agency. It's always been word of mouth for me personally.
Wow.
Well, how did you get started, like the first one?
Well, I was an intern at a law firm. And a lawyer from another law firm that we sometimes worked with asked me for my number and asked me if I wanted to have dinner with him. And I was, you know, I was a lot younger then, and I was really flattered. I thought, oh, yeah, this big hotshot lawyer wants to have dinner with me. And everything was kind of, you know, it was fine. It was fun. I really wasn't interested in him. But then at the end of the night, he gave me $3,000 cash. And I was like, oh, whoa, you know.
I don't know what that.
I want to do.
Right.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward, but then I soon realized, oh, no, he's just...
Paying you for your time.
Yeah.
See, this is why if you have a chance, if you believe in reincarnation, come back as a hot chick.
Honestly.
That is the way to go.
It's unbelievable.
Wow.
All right, Christina, I'm glad you called. No sex with your husband, though, right? You're going to tell him up front, right?
He's never asked.
No.
He's a former client. He's never asked.
When you guys get married, you got to say, I'm sorry, that's extra. All right, Christina, you are awesome. Thanks for calling and sharing with us, okay?
Thank you.
Bye now.
You know, our next guest, Kevin, Ken Block and I have a lot in common because every day I wake up and I go, do I want to skateboard today or snowboard or get out there in the motocross or do I want a rally car? What do I want to do today? How do I want to spend my day?
You don't really do any of that.
I do all of that, and that's why I am the front runner for the Ken Block Gymkhana Invitational, which happens this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Gates open at 10 o'clock both days at the Toyota Speedway in Irwindale. Very happy to welcome Mr. Block to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ken. Thanks for joining us.
What's up, guys? How are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. It's a big deal. You got your name on the Gymkhana Invitational for the first time. How did we get to this point?
I don't know. It's really awkward having my name on an event, though, but for some reason somebody thought there was some value to that, so. I'll take it.
Now, even people who are into motorsports, who have seen you do a lot of incredible things throughout the years, either in person or on the internet, still may not be familiar with what Gymkhana is all about. Tell us how that's different from some of the other names.
Well, basically, it's a grassroots form of motorsport with a simple course usually set up in like parking lots. But the reason why I've sort of become famous with it is I've done some videos where I've been practicing and testing with my cars and done some stuff that have... actually sort of made the internet go crazy. So
yeah.
This is actually the first time that we're taking, you know, some of those race isn't actually putting together a big, you know, Saturday night event in a stadium that holds 10,000 people.
Now, it's drifting, but it's also, what else?
Well, it's like a form of rally racing, time attack, and drifting all shoved into one with, you know, against the clock. So you have two cars on a course that's a course that's mirrored, so it's head-to-head for a time, and whoever's fastest wins and moves on, and the other guy's eliminated.
Wow. Who are some of your other drivers in the event this weekend?
The 2010 Formula Drift champion, Vaughn Gittin, X Games gold winner, Tanner Faust.
Nothing. Those guys are nothing. You know what I mean, Ken?
We got other rally guys like ACP. We even got professional skateboarder Bucky Lassick coming. So it's going to be a fun event, and I think it'll be a really good show.
Now, on YouTube, the one that you were doing donuts around the dude on the Segway.
Yeah?
That guy's dumb. Because it really looks like you're going to kill him at any moment, and yet you have such precise control over that car, even though it's sliding all over the place.
Yeah, well, I guess we could call that dumb luck. He's actually a pretty smart guy. He's actually
nope.
a marketing director.
He's not a smart guy if he's on the Segway. He's a smart guy if he's in the car with you.
I'm not sure how I talked him into that one.
Yeah.
Ken, how long is the course that you guys are going to be racing?
It's pretty short. We do it on the infield, basically, of an oval circuit. So it only takes us 30 to 40 seconds to do this course. But it's all about precision driving and being quick, but also like putting on a good show. So I think it's going to be pretty fun for the fans to come out and watch.
So cones, slaloms, turns, figure eights. Is this right, a 51-degree bank that you've got to use?
No, unfortunately, the 51-degree bank that I drove on was over in France, but this oval does have a small bank, and we use a little bit of it. So it's a lot of like basic precision driving stuff, like you said, like figure eights and, you know, wow. 540 around a cone, that type of stuff.
Are there any jumps?
No, I wish. Maybe someday we'll be able
to. Add the jumps, man. Add the jumps. You have everything.
All right, Psycho Mike, what do you got for Ken?
I was just wondering, Ken, how many tires you go through just in training and preparation for an event like this?
Kind of depends. Probably on all the practice and testing that we're going to do this week to get ready for Saturday night, we'll probably go through about 24, I would say.
24 tires.
Yeah, I can go through a set of four in about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
What? Yeah, luckily, I have a great supplier named Pirelli that keeps my Ford Focus, my Ford Fiesta. Wow, I'm awake this morning. My Ford Fiesta, supplied.
So your Ford Fiesta is not my Ford Fiesta.
Yeah. I was watching you, in preparation on some of the Gymkhana videos, and I'm thinking to myself, a Ford Fiesta is an awfully small automobile, and you guys must have tons of torque and horsepower running through it. How does a car that small, not to get too techy, but how does a car that small maintain all that? I mean, it's really not prepared for it.
Well, you know, Ford builds a great car, you know, straight from the factory. We just bolt on some exhaust and go. It's great.
Wow. That's it?
I find
that hard to believe.
I am kidding. But,
you put jet engines in it and all kinds of weird stuff.
No, it's basically a rallycross race car out of Europe that we modify a bit to do the type of driving that I like to do. But, you know, that little Fiesta is a great little platform to start from. But, yeah, my car is slightly different than what you get on the showroom.
Now that it's the Ken Block Gymkhana Invitational, does everybody else have to let you win?
I hope not.
That's understood, right? Because your name's on it.
That's the thing. I've kind of opened myself up for some really bad ridicule if I don't win.
Sure. You should just make whoever wins, then the next one is named after them.
Oh, sure.
The event is this weekend at the Toyota Speedway in Irwindale, December 3rd and 4th. Gates open at 10 for both days. And by the way, this is great. Single day or 2 day tickets available starting at just $23. That's a lot of entertainment for $23. You can go to gymkhanagrid.com. We also have a pair of VIP tickets to give away right now. If you want to be there and see it in person yourself, you can call at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take caller 20 to win those tickets. Is the plan that this is going to be a yearly event or something that you'll move all over the country and do these in different cities, or what are you going to do, Ken?
The plan is to do many events. This year, we just to start it off, we just wanted to do one big event and have it an invitational and kind of set the series off by doing that. But we plan on doing, you know, 3 to 5 events, you know, all over the country next year. But just getting started with this one.
Those of you that all don't right. Don't know how to you can't make it to this race, you know how to spell it, you can look it up on YouTube. It's GYMKHANA. And it's fascinating to watch.
Ken, I'm sure you get this advice all the time when you leave the house. Have fun this weekend and don't die, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on. I've always been a big fan of K-Rock, so appreciate you you hooking me up.
No worries. Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
Ralph Garman is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Before you do that, Ralph, I forgot to ask you about this. Did the Eagles go into Chicago yesterday and kill a fan at Soldier Field? Did that happen?
Not that I know of.
Of course.
You didn't hear about the guy who died at the game?
No.
Oh, okay. So probably not the Eagles' fault then.
It was the Eagles' fault. Trust me.
I'm just saying. That's,
no matter what happened.
I know that's a tough team from a tough city. But when you start killing fans of the opposing city's team, that's crazy.
You don't mess with Philadelphia fans. That's one thing I know.
I guess not.
I don't know the story. What's the story?
Hey, guy died at Soldier Field. Guy fell. poor Kevin's just trying to get to the show business.
So no one killed him. He fell.
Or was he pushed?
Fell.
I mean, I'm just saying, there were Eagles fans in the vicinity. I'm just wondering if you knew anything about it.
I didn't.
Not. So,
okay. All right, now?
But he deserved it.
Now?
He deserved it for being a Bears fan, right?
That defense, they're for real, man.
What is going on?
You just giving up?
See what happens when you screw around? Things go bad. I'm just saying, it was a great game. I don't know if anyone saw yesterday's afternoon game.
Did see that.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. $78 million over the long five-day holiday weekend. Then Tangled came in at number 2 for Disney. The second best Thanksgiving weekend opening in the history of these motion pictures.
Wow.
Not bad.
$67 million. Megamind was third. Then Burlesque, Unstoppable, Love and Other Drugs. Faster. Due date. Next 3 days, and Morning Glory rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but you know, We Are the World.
We are
the children.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Legendary charity song done by Quincy Jones.
In the 80s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to say, mid-80s?
26 years ago.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, of course, was involved. Mm-hmm. Lionel Richie was also involved. It was
every celebrity
in the world. They pulled up a bunch of limos after the American Music Awards, just piled them all in, just took them to a studio and recorded it.
For a number of years, it was the best-selling single of all time.
It was, of course, to raise money for famine relief in Africa.
How'd that go?
Which was a noble cause. Well, they helped. They certainly raised a lot of money. They fed a lot of people. What do you want? To solve all the problems, Kevin? You got to help a little bit. Do something.
I hear you, man.
And a bunch of comedians have gotten together to do their version of We Are the World.
Now?
Yes.
Fantastic.
And it is horrible.
Oh, no.
And that's why it's funny, because they're not singers, right?
Are they trying to be funny? Or are they trying to say?
Yeah, they're trying to be funny and trying to be horrible, and they're reveling in their horribleness.
Okay, good.
And I just want to play for you. The video's online now. You can go funnyordie.com if you want to find it. But my favorite part is the intro with one of my favorite actors, Kurt Russell, who is playing self-important Hollywood guy. He's holding an Oscar in his lap while he's talking to us in the video. That's all you need to know. But here he is describing what you will see on this new video. It's for raising money for food banks here in Los Angeles. So it's also a very worthy cause. And here's Kurt Russell introing the video.
There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own life.
Oh, hi. I'm Kurt Russell. You know, 25.75 years ago, Quincy Jones gathered together an amazing group of artists to create and record We Are the World. Well, this winter, another group of people, a group of some of this country's finest comedians, got together and recorded a new version. Now, the sales from this new terrible version of an already not that great song will benefit the LA Regional Food Bank, giving hungry families what they need to survive this holiday season. Now, I want to stress that these are not singers, and this does not sound good at all. In fact, a lot of it's just horrible. And remember, laughter is the best medicine, but food is the best food. Thank you.
Good point.
He's got a good point.
Can't argue with that. Food is the best food. Yeah, so check it out and make a donation. It's a worthwhile cause. It's very funny. Sarah Silverman's in it. Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah! Hey, take it easy, Bean.
Thomas Lennon, Paul Scheer, John Daly, Amy Mann. She's an actual singer. She's Paul F. Tompkins. A very funny group of people, so you want to check it out. But made me laugh, so just want to give you the heads up.
I like that they announce it's going to be horrible up front.
Yes, yep. They're very matter-of-fact.
Give us good money.
Right.
You know, we've finally been waiting for this Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark to hit Broadway. The Spider-Man musical, written by Bono and The Edge, did all the music for it. Well, they couldn't hold it off any longer. They had to start selling tickets and putting on the show. They're what they call previews now, which are the not, it's not officially open. It doesn't open until January, but these are the previews so people can come and see the show and start a good buzz about the show before the
general
actual
public
run.
Can,
and
yeah,
they
the
can
public,
keep yeah. working on a few things, uh-huh.
yeah,
too.
Yeah, well, apparently they got to work on a lot of things.
Oh.
The $65 million musical is far from ready for an audience, apparently. Sunday night was the first performance, and the show was stopped 5 times.
Ooh.
For the longest section, when Spider-Man got stuck dangling 10 feet above the audience member for a half an hour.
How would you have loved to be that?
And they couldn't get him out of the harness. And they said, okay, we're going to intermission now, folks. You can go get something to eat. And people are filing out, and Spider-Man's just hanging there.
What
over
do
the
I do?
Apparently it happened 4 or 5 times. Mary Jane was stuck over the audience at one point.
Awesome.
Someone screamed out in the second act, I don't know how everyone else feels, but I feel like a guinea pig today. This is a dress rehearsal.
But they knew that when they bought tickets that it wasn't ready.
But the previews are supposed to be real shows. It's not supposed to be you're sitting in a work in progress. It's supposed to be the show.
They say work in progress.
They fine-tune. I mean, when they say they're changing stuff, it's like, all right, let's change this musical cue here. We'll cut this line out. We'll tighten that up.
Tiny stuff.
Not just major catastrophe. Spider-Man dangling over your head by his feet.
They should have their money given back to them for sure.
At no time should the show should Spider-Man say, little help! Stuck help!
By the way, I recorded it, have not yet seen it, but they did a piece on 60 Minutes last night where they showed footage from the Spider-Man play and talked to Bono, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. Did they say it's a disaster?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet, but it does not sound promising for what we... And this is a play that has already been delayed multiple times, right, Ralph?
Yes. It was supposed to go into previews in November. And January of this year.
So,
and then it got pushed to November, so it's already a couple years behind schedule. They were supposed to go open for the Christmas season, they're like real performances, but they knew they weren't ready, so now they're not opening until January. So they're missing out on all the holiday tourist stuff that goes on in New York City when a lot of shows make their money.
You don't need that.
No, it's not important.
Nah.
And it'll be closed by next holiday season.
Anyway,
so.
They're in big trouble, but I just thought it was funny, Spider-Man just dangling over the audience, as they filed out to get ice cream. Today's celebrity birthdays: Anna Faris from Scary Movie and The House Bunny and many, many motion pictures. She is 34 years old. Gina Lee Nolan from Baywatch is 39. Don Cheadle is 46 years old. Tom Sizemore and Kim Delaney both celebrate their 49th birthdays. Howie Mandel is 55 years old. Joel Cohen of the directing Coen Brothers is 56. Gary Shandling is 61. And Los Angeles Dodgers broadcasting legend Vin Scully celebrates his 83rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
By request? I'm just kidding. No one requested that. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
There is no local H on night number 2 of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2010 concert, December 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater. But there is Phoenix, Vampire Weekend, Brandon Flowers, Black Keys, Temper Trap, Neon Trees, Florence and the Machine, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and Broken Bells. You'll have a chance to win those tickets coming up in about 10 minutes. So do not go away from the Kevin Bean Show. We'll tell you when to call in. Now, what's this nonsense? What's this tape you guys have unearthed from my past? I don't like this when you guys say you've got tape. What's happening?
This is Bean, and we focus on him a lot because he's weird. He's one of the strangest people I've ever met.
Yeah, he
is. I don't
know
what you're talking about.
It's true.
And it's funny because I was getting interviewed by a college student last week, and she was asking how we got along. How do you get along with Bean? I was like, you know, the first 3 or 4 years, we didn't get along very well, but I think that was my fault because I didn't understand a guy like him, and I was angry that he didn't want to hang out, and it's okay that he's him. And so then I said, finally, I kind of got around to understanding that that's just Bean. Now, Bean doesn't like people. He doesn't like gatherings. He doesn't like fun.
That is true,
no.
Actually.
He loves death. This is not an exaggeration. His wife would invite people over for, like, Christmas, and Bean would call them and uninvite them. He would literally say, hey, you know that thing you got invited to? Not doing it.
Don't bother to come.
By the way.
True or not?
True.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a meltdown on Thanksgiving this year because we had a bunch of people, and by a bunch of people, I mean 6, coming over to our house.
Right.
And I was freaked out that morning. I really was about that many people coming to the house.
Yeah, and
I don't care for it.
It sounds like a mental disability.
Bean is getting much worse this way. He used to be bothered by people, but it wasn't too bad. And now through the years, it's gotten worse and worse. And, you know, 6 people didn't used to freak him out. It used to be 20 that would freak him out. Then at 15, 10. Now it's 6. Now it's going to be like one person.
And he, I don't know what to do.
He's going to have to live alone.
Donna, can you get out of the living room so I can come in there?
So that's why we found it funny. When we found out that Bean, the guy we just described, was a wedding DJ. Bean would go to weddings, and he was the DJ.
How did this happen?
Like the most social job in the world is to be a wedding DJ, because you have to deal with the bride and the groom and all of their friends and all their family and all of their guests and try to, you know, basically moderate the party and keep everybody happy, right?
Right. And by the way, also there's a lot of drinking that goes on. So as the night goes on, people get more drunk and more drunk, and they approach the DJ and they want to hear this song and that song. And I can't imagine Bean. I mean, what a nightmare that must have been for these couples. Don't you think they said, who gave us that recommendation?
It was a few years ago, and I think I handled it pretty well. But yeah, I was one of those guys like Omar who had a little sound system that he drove around from event to event and actually was a wedding DJ. I did it for a number of years.
It could not have been word of mouth. There's no way that's how we got business.
Had to be Craigslist.
Yeah.
So anyway, we do have some clips of Bean being a wedding DJ. Yes. We contacted one of the couples that got married that used him as a wedding DJ.
I don't like this at all.
They use this as evidence later for the lawsuit?
To get the lawsuit and the refund. The first clip that we have is Bean doing the first dance. Very important moment, really, for the couple, because this is when they come out. It's after the wedding, and they're kind of introduced.
Announced.
Here they are, the couple, and this is their first dance.
And now it's time for Gina and Alan to dance their first dance together. As husband and wife, they chose Frank Sinatra's All the Way. But then I realized they're going to die someday. And they'll probably drown. Gordon Lightfoot.
Bean also has super terrible taste in music. So that song to Bean is maybe the best song of all time.
Mm-hmm. It's my favorite song ever. Damn it, it should be your first dance song if it's not already.
So they go from the first dance, and then, you know, later in the night after you eat, there's the cake cutting.
Right.
So you got that going on.
And now it's time for Gina and Alan to cut the cake. They wanted to do it to something nice and romantic. But I thought, let's party. And who's better to party with than Mr. Party himself, Barry Manilow.
Yeah, Bean doesn't seem like he would be willing to bend any four requests.
Hey, they hired me as the professional. I should be able to pick the music.
Wait a minute.
I don't think that's how it works at all.
So Bean's a wedding DJ and the floor is empty. What do you do? What do you do when the dance floor is empty?
You go to one of your party starters, a song that everyone loves.
And now Gina and Alan would like to invite everyone out on the dance floor. And they wanted Celebration by Coolin' the Gang. But I realized he's gonna make her foot loose right down there by the ankle. Makes me hurt my foot every time I watch them dance. So here's a song by Niecy from that movie Footloose. Oh, it makes my ankle hurt every time I play it.
He doesn't really take requests, I think is the point. And then it's party time.
Okay, everybody, it's time to party. Here's a little song by Lionel Richie. He gets a little richier every time I play it. I'm good.
Yeah. And then finally, the bouquet toss.
Okay.
And now it's time for one of the most fun parts of the evening, where all the single ladies come up to the dance floor. Who'll catch the bouquet and be the next one to get married? And then die. You'll probably drown.
What are you doing? You're ruining my wedding!
You're gonna die.
In my defense, there's no appropriate song to play when all the single ladies are on the dance floor, right?
That's true. That's a good point, except for one about 72 people that died in a shipwreck 900 years ago. Being the wedding DJ, available now.
I know we have some tickets to give away for the sold-out night number two, the Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert, coming up on Sunday, December 12th at the Gibson Amphitheater. But is this an easy game to win, or I'm unclear
on that? It's not incredibly easy, no. As a matter of fact, it is
presenting the hardest game in the world.
Oh, that's right. How'd you like that acting, Mr. Announcer Man?
As good as always, Kevin and
Bean. All right, we have contestants on the line. They are playing for night number two. Everyone who is able to get past you, Mr. Announcer Man, goes into the drawing. Then Lisa May will award the winner. Tell the folks on hold how the game is played, please.
We will simply announce the names of acts that are performing at night two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas. All you need to do is identify that act. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. It's backwards!
Yay! Doesn't sound so hard, but wait till you hear it. Who do we have first?
First up is Steve. He's a lab tech in a meth lab.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Cooking up some meth?
I am trying to, yes.
All right. Here's your band backwards. You can hear it twice. That goes for everybody on hold. You can only hear it twice, and then we need an answer. Here it is.
Nine.
One more time. One more time.
Siersht nein.
It's one of the bands that's playing night number two, if that helps.
One of the bands, night number two.
And they are called, and the name of them is?
There's only nine of them.
I don't know.
Or eight.
Yeah. Neon Trees.
That's what we're looking for. See, that's the way the game is played. Who's next, Mr. Announcer?
It's a hard game.
Yes, I always it like it, though, when we have a limited number of answers and they don't give you one.
It's hard.
Just a stab in the
dark. At least guess, right.
All right, who do we have?
Next up is Carrie. She has the hardest of all jobs, the stay-at-home mom. Let's hear it for moms, everybody.
Wow, yeah. Mr. Announcer Man, suck it up. Wait, trouble at home? What's going on here?
Is this your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
We need tickets because you guys are cheap.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, it's Terry with a T.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
With a T. All right, here's your
are
song.
Are you a stay-at-home Tom?
Here's your song backwards. You can hear it twice. Here you go.
Sir Wolf, didn't there.
One more time.
Sir Wolf, didn't there.
All right, who is that?
It's not very easy.
It's hard. Hardest game in the world.
Can be difficult.
And again, the advice is if you don't know, it won't hurt you to take a guess. There's only nine to choose from. So you got at least a chance.
Now. There's eight left now.
It's true.
Neon Trees.
Just
right.
name any act that's playing, I guess is what we're saying.
One out of eight. With
Brandon Flowers?
Yes!
Brandon Flowers.
Look at that. Well done.
We only had to give her a half hour. She got it. That's great.
All right, you hang on. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Joshua. He's unemployed. Slacker.
Joshua.
Hello.
Hello.
I can't imagine why he's unemployed.
First of all, now we've answered that question as to why you're unemployed, but at least you've got lots of free time to go to the concert. Listen up. Here's your act.
Siskalbub.
One more time.
Siskalbub. Unemployed horse.
Vampire Weekend.
The Black Keys.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Thanks for playing. By the way, your tax dollars go to support Joshua and his unemployment check. I just want to remind you of that.
Next up is Enrique. He's a student at Riverside Community College, also known as a prison.
Hey, Enrique.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your bands?
I'm ready.
Here you go.
Thank you. Hurry off, Mev.
One more time.
Thank you. Hurry off, Mev.
Magnetic Zeros. I don't know.
Vampire Weekend.
Okay.
Vampire Weekend.
Yeah, no,
that's what we just said.
But you don't get it after we say it.
By the way, remember how good the contestants were for the night number one game earlier today?
Yeah, I miss
those people.
Next up is Alex. He coordinates payrolls.
Hey, Alex.
What's up, guys? What's up, Lisa May?
Hello.
All right, this guy's alive. Okay. You ready for your bands?
Go for it.
Here you go.
Master of Mesh Dog.
One more time.
Master of Mesh Dog.
Lawrence and the Machine.
The Temper Trap.
Oh.
Okay.
Sorry, dear.
This is hard. One more contestant. By the way, so far, Terry is the only contestant who is in the drawing, so she stands alone at this point. If this next contestant doesn't get it, then Terry will be the winner.
Next up is Jesse. He boxes groceries at a supermarket. Paper or plastic, Jesse?
I'll take either one.
All right.
You ready for your band? Here you go.
Skinny.
One more time.
Skinny.
You have to get that one. You have to get that
one. No,
I will punch you right in the head.
You don't get this.
Right? Mr. Announcer Man will punch him right in the head.
Oh, I will.
Oh, I have it in my mind.
Yep.
Get it out of your mind. Put it in your mouth.
How about saying it?
Oh, no.
Hit you with a shopping cart. Phoenix.
Okay. It wasn't, I mean, it was so...
Get in gamma now. What the hell?
It was just two tiny little syllables. It's the only band that could have fit that night, but I'm sorry to say you are not in the drawing. That means let's go to Terry.
What? Terry with a T!
What, are we doing a drawing?
And the answer is... Terry!
With a T!
With a T! Thank you, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations. We will see you on Sunday night.
Thanks. Okay.
Thanks for playing the game.
Thank you, Mr. Thank you, Mr.
I'm doing like three things at the same time.
Oh, right. You're great.
K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
What?
942.
What? Love hurts.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat final look at what's up on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. What's happening, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we look at the most successful movies at the box office this weekend. And no surprise, Harry Potter still at the number one slot in that list. Deathly Hallows Part 1 made over $78 million for the five-day holiday weekend. Tangled, although, did very well for itself. $67 million made it number two on the list. And because it debuted over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend, it became the second largest grossing opening weekend ever for a movie.
Wow.
$67 million over those 5 days. Megamind was third, then Burlesque, Unstoppable, Love and Other Drugs, the new Anne Hathaway movie, was sixth. Faster, Due Date, The Next 3 Days, and Morning Glory, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Anne Hathaway, a lot of news sites are reporting that James Franco and Anne Hathaway have been asked to host the Academy Awards. Coming up next year, and apparently they have accepted the offer, according to sources.
That's strange.
I guess they are tired of trying to entertain people.
Yeah, they've just given up.
Look, everything they've been trying hasn't really been working, so maybe...
You are never happy with anything we do, so now we're just going to have two young, attractive people come out and announce awards. So there, suck it, America, they're saying, basically. I don't know how that's going to work.
I don't either, because... I don't know. The Oscars is such an unusual case, because does it really matter who the host is? I mean, people are either going to watch the Oscars or they're not,
it depends
right?
on how much they do.
It does.
If they do a lot, it really can turn you off, or
they have terrible
make
host,
it great.
It's awful.
I mean, I don't look at it and go, well, I'm not a big fan of this person who's hosting, so I'm not interested in who wins the Academy Awards. I'm still watching.
Yes, I think it does affect how much you enjoy the proceedings.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Am I wrong that I just missed Billy Crystal? Is that making me a bad person?
He always did a great job. Yeah. Look, may not be the most, you know, hip name in the room, but the guy always delivered on that night.
You're a bad person, but for a lot of other
reasons. Yeah, nothing to do with Billy Crystal.
And Steve Martin, too. I think Steve Martin's great when he does it.
Steve Martin, too? Is that his son?
Yeah. I love David Letterman, even though. Did he do that?
Or he did it. Yeah, he did it once.
He did
it once.
He didn't get great reviews.
He did not get a good reaction, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought when Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin teamed up together, that was great.
That was
last year. Where's Ricky Gervais's name? Why isn't that?
Ricky Gervais should host every show we have.
He's doing the Golden Globes, I guess.
I guess they're cheesed off about that. They asked Hugh Jackman to come back, but he can't because he's making another Wolverine movie.
Sure.
So I guess this is what we're going to have.
Unless James Franco is hilarious and he's been hiding it till this point, I guess that's a possibility.
Look, maybe it's a good idea. Maybe it's smarter than just to go with a straight award show. Just bring out the people, announce the nominations, give out the awards, let the stars make their speech, tighten it up by a half an hour or so. Maybe that's the way to go.
But they won't tighten it up by a half an hour. They'll fill
just
it.
No freaking interpretive dance.
They'll
numbers.
Do that.
Let's not do that.
They do that every year.
Just play a clip of the song over a picture of the movie.
And we have to hear from the blowhard that's the president of the Academy.
Well,
for
it is
an
the
hour.
Academy's you know, event.
Right,
you
but it's a TV show as well.
To talk.
And I'm going to say, and I know it's unpopular with people in the industry, it's time to dump the awards that we, the public, don't care about. I understand you can't make a movie without a cinematographer, but we don't need to see that award on TV or costuming or lighting or any of the other BS awards that they give
directing,
the middle hour and a half
acting,
of the show.
Don't care.
Yeah, don't give those. Just say, this movie wins. Good night. It's like a commercial.
It's like a 30-second show.
That's right.
I'd watch it.
The lot of Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet leading up to it.
That's I'd watch I'm, the whole
that's
thing.
That's all I care about. You know who's not going to host is Jay Leno, thank God, because he's horrible. Here's the thing about Jay Leno. He has been infamous in the comedy and television business for stealing jokes for years.
Oh, I thought that was all Carlos Mencia.
Well, in terms of stand-ups, yeah, but in terms of television, it's been Leno.
Oh, okay.
For example, you know that thing he does, I guess it's headlines, where he takes headlines from small town newspapers and puts them up and makes jokes about little stories and headlines. Have you ever seen
David
bit
Letterman do that?
Well, that's
well,
the thing.
I don't watch it. Maybe that's
Letterman
what...
started doing a bit called Small Town News years ago, and then suddenly Leno's got this headlines bit that he does. Right? Howard Stern has accused him of stealing his Man in the Street interview stuff for his jaywalking bits. Not that I'm in that company, but I've heard bits, jokes that I've made in the showbiz beat in the morning show up in his monologue later on that night.
I don't know
that. I mean,
way.
People
really?
Listen on the way in or whatever.
Yeah.
You take whatever they can find.
He's finally been busted, though, which is spectacular. He had Taylor Swift on the other night, and he said...
What does that mean?
We put together a montage of you being surprised and showed a series of clips of her at an awards ceremony over and over and over again being shocked that she won.
Why would he do that
we
to her face?
We put together a little montage of you being surprised.
Yeah.
And he showed the video clips, which we had on the Internet Roundup,
Right.
A week before that.
Yeah.
It was done by a VH1 blogger who put it up on the Internet, was getting 200,000 hits per day. And apparently they went to this guy and said, hey, can we use that? We got Taylor Swift coming on. Can we show that clip? And he said, yeah, sure. Just, you know, credit me and credit the website and it'll all be good. So he's watching and Jay Leno says, yeah, we put this together for you. That's it. No credit for this dude.
Well.
So he went public with it and was furious, and rightly so. The next night, under the final credits of The Tonight Show, there's a little crawl that goes, last night's video was provided by... That's how they gave him credit, and that's what they think is enough. And this guy still perhaps isn't quite as satisfied as he could be.
Wow.
So, Jay Leno, caught stealing. Red-handed.
Love it.
Busted.
If Jay Leno makes you laugh, chances are I don't care for you as a person.
Right. That's true. That is absolutely true. Oh, what's Bean going to do? There's a geriatric cat fight going on in Hollywood.
All right.
Between Cloris Leachman and Betty White.
Well, you know where my money is.
Yeah, stuffed under your mattress.
Yeah.
Along with the first nickel you ever made. Cloris Leachman apparently was talking to reporters, and Betty White's hand came up, and she said, I never really liked Betty White. I think she was being facetious. I think she was being humorous.
Absolutely.
I hope.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
And
I want him to go.
She's a comedian, for God's sake.
Betty White. Betty White was informed about this, and Betty White said regarding Cloris Leachman, "Is she still conscious?" So apparently now it's on. It's like a feud. It's like a East Coast West Coast thing.
Celebrity boxing.
That's what I'm saying. mud wrestling. Celebrity mud wrestling. Cloris Leachman and nude Betty White.
Oh,
just nude.
Hey, whoa now, whoa.
Then roll them in flour afterwards.
And then put them in the oven? I don't understand.
Yes. Betty White, you ever see that commercial, the Snickers commercial where the guy's playing like Betty White?
And yeah.
Do you see how Betty moves out there on the field before it changes over to the guy?
Yeah,
I don't think she'd be doing much mud wrestling.
Come on, celebrity boxing.
Be fun to watch. Have you heard this thing that Alicia Keys and Lady Gaga are doing?
No.
They are going to leave all social networking until Alicia Keys' charity raises $1
million.
Gaga, Justin Timberlake, Usher, Alicia Keys, they are all going to sign off Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
On Wednesday. They're not going to go back on. They're not going back on Facebook or Twitter until this charity raises $1
million.
Really?
Jennifer Hudson, Ryan Seacrest, Kim and Khloe Kardashian, Elijah Wood, Serena Williams.
Wait.
Swizz Beatz, they're all going to sign off. They're not going to be, you won't see them on Facebook or Twitter until this money is raised. Forget about it. You will be denied their magic on Twitter until this charity finally gets its just desserts.
How many of them are there that are signing off? Because couldn't they just put in a million? Move
each
on?
And just move
that
on?
That is a really good
not
point.
Not each, but together.
It doesn't say what the list is here of how many people. Just the names that I mentioned are here in this article.
So if I don't give money, I won't be able to see Ryan Seacrest's tweet?
That's right. Until Keep a Child Alive raises $1 million, none of these people will be on Twitter or Facebook. You will be denied their magic, people.
We'll be excluded?
Excluded from Alicia Keys' tweets.
If we raise $2 million, will they still stay off?
That's what I'm thinking. Let's start another charity and try to keep them off.
Like it.
I don't give a rat's ass what Lady Gaga has to say on Facebook.
Trying on meat dress.
Really smart as a celebrity.
Oh,
to,
oh my God.
Really smart as a celebrity to come up with a way to raise money that requires you to do nothing.
To do less than you're doing now.
Right, exactly.
Give less of your time to this charity. Just stay off Twitter, the Twitter, and the Facebook. That's an insane promotion.
To bring it down.
It is. What do we have to raise to get Bean to get off of Twitter? That's what I want to know. How much money are we going to raise to keep Bean off Twitter? What would it take you to stay off Twitter, Bean? What do you need?
I don't know.
What do you need? How much do you need?
I don't think it's a money thing with him. I think he has to
tweet.
He has to. It's like purging.
Bird's got to fly, fish got to swim, Bean's got to tweet.
He's got to get it out.
You mock, by the way, but I rarely tweet. I tweet maybe once a day. I mean, Mike, back me up on this. I'm not a big tweeter.
That's one a day too many.
But when you do, it's like saying, you know, we only dropped one bomb on Hiroshima.
Right.
We only dropped one bomb on Nagasaki. We don't bomb them all the time. But you just obliterate everything in its sight, in its within its radius.
It's a blitzkrieg in 140 characters.
Yes.
Only one knockout punch, still a knockout punch. You know, and Bean, he's in comparison to most people, he doesn't tweet a lot, but it's usually crap.
It's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Anna Faris is 34 years old today. Brian Baumgartner. He plays Kevin on The Office.
He sure does.
He's funny on The Office.
He is.
Very funny.
How come the Kevin character has to be retarded?
You tell
us.
What did you do?
I'm just saying.
He's 38 years old. Gina Lee Nolan of Baywatch fame is 39. Don Cheadle, 46 years old. Tom Sizemore and Kim Delaney both turned 49 years old today. Howie Mandel is 55 years
old. Deal or no deal?
I say deal. Joel Cohen of the directing writing Cohen Brothers is 56. Gary Shandling is 61. And L.A. Dodgers broadcaster Vin Scully.
Yeah!
He's 83 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We got an all-new show tomorrow. We are going to talk a little bit more about this Buffalo Bills player. I don't know if you've seen it. We put it up as a picture of the day, and then there's a link to the video.
Bail.
They were in overtime, and there was a pass in the end zone that hit him right in the chest, in the hands, right where it's supposed to be. He was wide open, and he dropped the ball.
Bail.
And then later, he tweeted about how it was God's fault. I praise you 24/7, and this is how you repay me?
Nice.
Yep.
That's what he said.
By the way, where's my big bag of money falling from the sky, too, that I asked for?
Also, the Today Show should do a piece about the royal wedding, because they haven't really mentioned that yet, and that's odd.
Actually, Kevin, they do an hour and a half a day on it, and the wedding isn't until the end of April.
That's right. There is
wedding
that.
Watch.
We have Miss Double D's coming in tomorrow. We have three of them.
Wow. Or six, depending on.
We have Michelle. We have Amy. We have Kelly. Yeah. See what you did there?
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
We have Cake in studio performing live. And we have tickets for the 21st annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock right after this.
The K-Rock.